It is not going to kill anything if I just play a few clips from the special.
Okay, all right. What do you mean, okay? Oh, yes, it will. Don't play it.
Which side are you going to play this time, Dan?
I don't know. Alfie's not here.
Well, he's out picking up dope.
Are these part of your teaser clips for the Christmas special?
If you want to call it that.
Which parts are you picking?
I don't know. I just don't. Let me ask this. Why did we agree to do this special? I know where you're going to go.
What?
Don't say it was your idea. Not the point. I was ready for that one. Why did we all agree to do it?
First of all, thanks for taking that off of me. I was trying to find a way to say it. I think because we all get caught up in it. Plus, when we decided to do it, we had just come off the excitement of doing the Halloween special.
Yeah, exactly.
But we did that one live.
Right. And that's much, much easier. There's a reason why we have not done a fully produced special in years.
I don't know that we've ever done one.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're off the air or not. The off-the-air light's flashing. That light in front of me's flashing. But the new alarm that they put in,
right,
about 2 months ago or a month ago, says system's normal.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to go anywhere. I'll just, or check the transmitter over here if you want. I'll just listen off the air. Still on.
Yep. But we have done one. I think we did a Halloween special years ago, and at least I think a couple of them that were fully recorded, produced. And maybe even, I think, when we did A Christmas Carol, I think that was recorded too.
But we're not going to do another damn one.
I think you said that back then. It's how these things seem to work. We'll do them, and then we'll say never again. Then a few years later, hey, let's do one, because we forgot about it.
I ain't forgetting this time.
Mm-mm.
I spent part of Friday night, we'll just call it, well, first of all, I had to start editing, because we got everything voiced.
Right.
And then you go into the production phase, where you have to decide what type of music, where you want the music. What type of sound effects? Mm-hmm. Finding sound effects that match that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Mixing it. And then I ran out of space on my desktop of my computer. I couldn't figure out which clip was which.
Oh, no.
Oh, I hate that.
I hate that.
I'd have to totally mix it all down because I had too many files open in my sound editing suite.
Right. And you just get lost in audio hell.
So I just mix it all down, what I got, and then open the file back up or the software, and now I've got just one file that I can go back and start adding things to again.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yes.
It got to the point, I just had to label it RMS Xmas Special 2:35 p.m. Mm-hmm. That's the only way I could find it. Wow. And then 2:49 p.m., and then 8:55 p.m.
Ugh.
And then 10:22 p.m. And I started over Sunday. I don't know how late I was up. I do know how late I was up here. Saturday, close here. I walked over to this desk. I went, "You want a pizza?"
Why were you angry in asking him?
I just...
You were just fed up?
Yeah, I hadn't eaten almost all day, and obviously, a high protein, low carb diet.
Mm-hmm.
I want a pizza.
Good for you.
Yeah.
What do we get? Jerry Jimmy's? Jones Boys? John?
Jimmy John's.
Big one.
Yeah.
Pretty, pretty, pretty big pizza.
XL.
Any of it left?
We're going to munch.
No?
Mm-mm.
Did you get the extra garlic sauce?
I came with garlic sauce. I didn't know it was there until afterwards.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we didn't worry about sauces or any other external toppings, red pepper.
Yeah, there were two instructions. Open it, move.
Fair enough. That's a great feeling when you haven't had one in a long time.
Well, I don't care what it does to my diet. It's one night. I've been up here all day on a Saturday. And then Sunday, that was another 8 hours of producing. So however many hours Friday night, 5, 6 on Saturday, another 8 on Sunday, and I'm still not done.
On the diet side of things, though, that's actually a good thing for you. It's good to shock your system, especially if you've been really strict for a couple of weeks. What else do you have left to do on the special?
A lot.
Fair enough.
Oh, it'll be done by Friday. But I'm not happy about it.
Just because of the time?
Yeah.
Are there any work parts that we can help you with? Or is this one of those things that it's a solo man thing once you're knee deep in it?
Man, I don't even know where I am.
Okay, so you're over your
head. I've still got a sermon I've got to write for it.
Right.
I think that's the biggest piece left.
That would make sense.
And about 5-10 minutes into editing it, I realized Ted McKay, who offered to be the narrator, says Joseph.
I'm sorry?
Joseph. Joseph and Mary. Every time.
I think it's kind of funny. You know what he's talking about.
Man, that's some serious. That gives our special some serious character.
And that's not one of those things to where you can go back and find a just a piece of a word where he goes and tack that on to the end of Joseph. Right, because then you get Joseph.
Then it sounds even dumber.
And I tried it. Oh, you know what? It's Joseph and Mary.
Yeah. That's good for you.
Yeah, Alfie was saying he can't pronounce his name right. He says Alpie or something. He can't.
Alpie?
Yeah.
And all the conversations we've had with Ted, not once has it ever sounded like he couldn't say certain things.
No, on the air, he does nights on Lone Star. Never noticed anything.
No.
He's just got to pick ours where he decides, all right, PH, together that's...
Joseph.
Yeah, I texted Alfie late Saturday when I realized this was going to be a problem.
Right.
I went, I'm going to kick your ass hard and right in the middle.
To which his response was...
He didn't.
So you know he got it.
Let's see.
Joseph. But he got everyone else's names right.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, he did fine.
Not like he had some different reading for Jesus or anything.
And I let Jacob, our web guy, listen to it. I went, all right, before I tell you, just listen to this and see if anything stands out. He listened to it, and I stopped. He went, no, he said Nazareth, right? Bethlehem he got? Because are you talking about Joseph? I went, so it is noticeable. Yeah, he said Joseph.
It's not only noticeable, it's like he's emphasizing it.
It's one of the main guys.
Well, yeah, it's.
I want to make sure to announce this thing in a big way.
Joseph. He makes sure to pop it on the end.
Okay, here's one that's kind of subtle.
Okay.
Everett plays the innkeeper that finally allows Joseph and Mary in. Maybe if we say Joseph all week, people will be used to it when it airs.
That's good. Desensitization.
This one's kind of subtle. You tell me if you get this right off.
Okay.
Let's just keep going. It's getting late. Here, this is the last inn in town.
Joseph knocks. A strange man answers the door.
Good evening. How may I be of assistance?
Excuse me, sir, but I'm in need for a room for my wife and I.
Stop it. I'm going to come give you a hug.
Why?
That is awesome. Come here. Bring it in. That's awesome. Kiss ass.
Man, you got Tom O'Dell in the background.
I don't know if anybody would be. I couldn't leave it up loud long.
No,
because
you can't.
It would be distracting. Just had to be when he opened the door.
But those that know. Oh, man. I feel so good about this. And now I can also see why you were up here all weekend. because you're not just editing what we have and throwing in sound effects and music. You're throwing in extras like that.
So,
which is that, awesome.
That one I probably wasted too much time on.
But you know what? You got a hug out of it.
Let's just keep going. It's getting late. Here, this is the last inn in town.
Joseph Knox, a strange man, answers the door.
Good evening. How may I be of assistance?
Excuse me, sir, but I'm in need for a room for my wife and I to stay in. We're in town for the census, and as you can see, she's very pregnant and getting a little testy.
F*** off. Oh, that's so awesome.
It's the small things.
It really is the small things.
And but anyone, not, I don't know if everybody knows that Everett is big into what, not always buying.
No.
But big into watching knife shows and that what's his name?
Tom O'Dell. It was Tom O'Dell. It was like 10 years ago was back when I watched the show religiously, 10 to 12 years ago. And it would come on a couple of different times during the week, but I always saw it at like 2 a.m., 1 a.m., and it was on for 3 hours on one of the shopping channels. 3 hours. And they would bounce around from different types of knife sets. They might be tactical folders. They might be Bowie knives. They might be samurai sets with the stand, some without. Depends on the special.
How do you talk about knives for 3 hours?
Oh, they do it.
What I understood, selling not just knives, swords,
mm-hmm.
I guess anything legal, those ninja stars, I don't know if those are legal.
And all the times that I've seen the knife show, I never saw any throwing stars. They may have been on there and I just missed them. But a lot of times it was, they would say like have a 100-piece tactical folder set. And it'd be from a certain company, all with different kinds of blades, different sizes. And the idea is you buy them and then you would didn't resell them. So, and that's how they sold stuff. It's like you get 100 knives.
Hey,
and,
well, hang on. You're off track now.
Sorry. I get excited.
What do you think Everett's, well, maybe you are explaining it. If you're that into it.
You can't help it. Partly because Tom O'Dell, the fat host.
But it's knives. How many knives can you have? It's like gun collectors. How many? Yeah. I got enough. I got just enough guns for the city.
Yes.
I got them spread around the house in case I happen to be in that part of the house. In fact, I'll tell you later, the alarm went off at like 11 o'clock Saturday night.
Okay.
Sunday night, whatever.
Well, part of it is that you can buy a set and then resell them. That's why part of the reason why you would watch and buy something. And the main reason to watch is because you got to see how it is they fill 3 hours selling knives. And my roommate and I at the time became convinced that the Mountain Dew bottle that Tom O'Dell would carry around the set with him, that was not Mountain Dew.
We figured out just the clips that I watched that this Tom O'Dell guy, he's drinking.
Mm-hmm. And his old partner was a skinny white kid named Sean. He's the one that has one of the times on the show where he's trying to show the durability of a sword, and it breaks in half and stabs him in the belly.
Oh, my God, I think I have stabbed myself.
That one's still pretty popular on the YouTube.
So that's why I put that in the background with Everett opening the door. You want it again?
Yes.
Let's just keep going. It's getting late. Here, this is the last inn in town.
Joseph Knox, a strange man, answers the door.
Good evening.
See, even there, he sounds kind of drunk.
Heavy or light spot load today?
It is medium.
Okay, then I'll get this break late. Here's Kenzie's big part.
Anybody else got any better gifts?
A young girl steps forward.
Hey, Jesus, I'm the little drummer girl. I'm here to play you a song on my drum.
Well, at least we found a good actress.
Damn.
This is three wise men riding through the desert.
Okay.
Man, it's spooky out here, riding in the desert at night, all alone and stuff.
What are you worried about? There's nothing out here.
There better not be, and there better not be any clowns hiding in this desert. I'll shoot a goddamn clown.
We'll be back to the Russ.
cheerful.
Then I'll do it. Right between the eyes.
Let's see.
Clowns in the desert.
Man, you got to watch out for them desert clowns.
Cloak, take out the first bumper here, and I'll just play this clip again. There's something. I remember the first day Dan said that in the studio. It was Luke Bryan. I wasn't even in here. I blew snot in my other studio. I don't even know how clowns came up.
I don't either. But it happened.
Man, it's spooky out here, riding in the desert at night, all alone and stuff.
What are you worried about? There's nothing out here.
There better not be. And there better not be any clowns hiding in this desert. I'll shoot a goddamn clown.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
338, first check on traffic over the MyPlates.com traffic center. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Supercuts. Well, a lot going on. Let's get started off in Dallas. Eastbound I-30 right at Loop 12, Walton Walker. Got an accident there blocking the on-ramp. Traffic there is backed up. It's backing up on both north and southbound Loop 12. In Balt Springs, southbound 635, just after I-20, got an accident there. That one has you backed up back from Elam Road. In Southlake, westbound 114, right at Kimball Avenue, got an accident blocking the two left lanes. Good. That has traffic backed up back from Business 114, screw Southlake. And finally, in Fort Worth, northbound 287, just before I-20, got an accident there. That one has you backed up back from Kennedale Sublet Road.
I never really noticed that traffic map that we use on the video stream. That's updated.
Yes, it is. It's live.
Because as you did each report, I looked at the map.
We're high tech.
That's some freaky ass. All right, sorry, go ahead.
That's all right. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by REI. Clear skies tonight, 42 for a low. Tomorrow, sunny, a high of 54. Right now, 64 degrees, but 97.1 the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Big wheels rolling, moving on. Big wheels rolling, gotta keep them going. Big wheels rolling, moving on.
Gears got to be.
That's it. I'm taking you to karaoke. Make you get this out of your system.
It's a special dream. Be a truck driving man. Instead of hand to hold that load behind.
Or just do it now.
Is that what you were singing before the show?
Yeah.
You were just went on and on. I was like, usually when people sing a song, they sing a line or two and they're done. You sing half the song.
I don't think that series was on NBC for more than a season. Why we get into it, I got no clue.
What series?
It's called Moving On.
Oh, okay.
Starred Claude Akins, who later went on to be
I know that name.
Sheriff. Was it BJ and the Bear Sheriff?
I had to look it up.
You'd know him. There's just a couple of truckers that traveled the country doing good.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, things would happen along the line. They're long-haul truckers.
Well, I'm sure, yeah. All sorts
not
of.
Like they just said, hey, let's travel around the country in something that gets really crappy gas mileage and save people.
Okay, I know what you're talking about now. I pulled up a photo of him.
What?
I just recognize him. I can't tell you what I recognize him from, but I see his face. I'm like, okay, yes, I recognize
Wasn't
him.
Wasn't there a spinoff from BJ and the Bear?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
He was Sheriff Lobo.
Yeah. That's all I remember. I never really watched BJ and the Bear with Greg Evigan and the monkey.
I don't think I really did.
How bad are your social skills to where your best friend is a monkey?
He was a cool monkey, though, man.
Think about it for a minute. Everybody hates you so bad. Your best friend is a monkey.
Well, it's hard to get people to go across the country with you.
I know. To you, it may sound elitist, Chloe. Yeah.
<Damn. laughs> Yeah, to Chloe, that sounds like heaven.
And like I said before, I don't even think that song It's Merle Haggard. I don't even think it was a country hit. Maybe my dad watched it because I would have been 13.
Okay.
If it had country music and truckers in it.
So did he just outright miss his calling, either as a country music singer or a long-haul trucker?
He tried that month that he tried to make me learn how to play the steel guitar.
other parents try to get piano, maybe guitar.
Violin.
No, steel, yeah, exactly. Steel
guitar. Hey, this computer thing sounds like it's something that might catch on. Why don't you get into that? And he's learned how to play the steel guitar.
It's your fallback. Any idiot can work a computer. You get you doing these steel guitars.
These steel guitars, they've been around for decades. These computers, this is all newfangled stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no way anybody's going to do anything with that.
Plus,
always going to be calling
mm-hmm.
for steel guitar players.
That's right. And not once has anyone ever worried about a steel guitar uprising taking over the humans.
Never where in the history of man did you ever read about a steel guitar becoming self-aware?
They know their place.
They won't even sell uppity steel guitars. I don't even know if this song has a steel guitar in it.
It doesn't matter now.
Yeah, it kind of does.
I think it does.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Big wheels rolling, moving on. Big wheels rolling.
Those whine things. I think that's a steel guitar because country music, they don't use the whammy bars on their guitars.
No, never.
At least not back then.
So if that's any type of slide sound on a guitar, that's a steel guitarist. And that man, when he's playing, he owns that song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they always highlight him, especially like during whatever TV shows that featured country music.
Yeah.
They would
piece of shows.
Yeah. They would highlight that
like,
steel
like
guitar.
Like he and Haw.
Yeah.
Hee-haw, or like, or if like the CMA Awards, the ACC Awards, whatever the quarterly country awards are, mm-hmm. yeah, it's always a focus. I just can't help now but get the thought out of my mind of a young Russ Martin, whose career path could have been drastically shifted had he picked up that steel guitar.
I can't play the regular guitar, so obviously I would have had no talent to play the steel guitar.
You don't know that.
Yes, I do.
You could be.
Name a famous steel guitar player.
had your life gone a different direction, it might have been you. Have you ever tried the steel guitar? You could be a prodigy and not even know it.
There are no chords, really. I don't think.
We all know what we're talking about, what it looks like.
Yeah, it's like the thing that sits on a table or your lap, and you got like a metal thing on your finger as it moves up and down the neck sort of deal.
Yeah, whatever that metal bar is you hold in your right hand.
Like a slide, yeah.
And you move that up and down the neck. While you do other crap with your other hand.
Yeah.
And that mother pedals on it.
It does?
I didn't know it had pedals.
I recall seeing pedals.
I believe they do.
What are they? What's that for?
Obviously, if you need to shift gears while you're playing.
this here steel guitar comes with a clutch.
Man, you should have got a steel guitar with an auto transmission.
Man, that's not country. You better get the manual.
I'm at least glad somebody asked me what the pedals were for.
Oh, my God.
Man, I think the guitar stuff at the beginning of this is a steal.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Big wheels rolling, moving on. Big wheels rolling, gotta keep them going. Big wheels rolling, moving on.
No, I don't hear it, because if it was going to be anywhere, it'd be right here.
Yeah.
Like steel guitar players in a country band, they're like Angus. Yeah, I don't hear it. Sonny, make a move. I'm done.
Mm-hmm. I think you're just getting warmed up.
It's a catchy tune.
It is catchy.
I don't know, but I bet it's in C. All those rednecks like C. Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
think they even use that one of the in the Blues Brothers movie. Oh, what key is it in? C. Good country key. Are you okay, Alfie? I know you've been rushing around the last hour or so.
I am, for the most part, okay.
What's the other part not?
I have to get something to Dan that I didn't get to him before I ran off to go get
Why don't you just tell him? Is it sponsors?
No. Well, that too.
Hand job?
No, not that.
What?
Cowboys Audio.
No, I got some.
All right, cool.
Well, I got a couple of other Christmas special clips that you don't want me to play on.
I tried to pick up your slack while you were gone.
Thank you, Dan.
He hasn't given away too much.
All right.
I spent, you want to know, and your ass, right in the middle of it.
I had no clue he was saying Joseph.
How could you not tell?
I couldn't tell. Just the way Ted talks, it just kind of rolled off the tongue. Like, oh, okay, yeah, he's saying Joseph. Your mind just kind of, at least my mind, filled in the F.
My foot will.
Mm-hmm.
Just the clip that I pulled where Everett opens the door as the innkeeper that finally lets him in.
Let's just keep going. It's getting late. Here, this is the last inn in town.
Joseph Knox.
Joseph Knox.
There ain't no f at the end of that.
Nope.
Maybe I'm used to it, just because Ted can't even say my name right.
Why would he say your name right? You're an idiot. What does he call you?
He calls me Affy.
Oh. That ain't nothing wrong with Affy.
He's missing
but,
that.
But you realize now that's your name. Affy.
All right.
Is that what he says?
Yeah, that's what he says. He leaves out the L.
And I think Blah Blah called you Affy anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Affy!
Affy! Yeah, I think that's right.
Affy!
I even forgot how I did Blah Blah. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Hey, Affy.
Yo.
Can you tell what Everett's watching in the background?
Can you play for me? Let's just keep going. It's getting late. Here. This is the last inn in town.
Joseph Knox, a strange man, answers the door.
Good evening. How may I be of assistance?
Excuse me, sir, but I'm in need for a room for my wife and I to stay in. We're in town for the census, and as you can see, she's very...
Alfie, when he played that for me the first time, I gave him a hug.
Again, that sort of inside, sort of not. I think Everett's talked enough about being a knife fan and that what's his name?
Tom Odell. The Knife Show.
Let's see, I got a couple more. Played I'll Shoot a Clown.
From afar, the three wise men hear the sweet sound of the Virgin Mary's voice.
Oh, I feel it. Oh, I feel the baby. Oh, I feel the baby coming out. Oh, Jesus. Oh, gee. Oh, hey, I just forgot what to name the baby.
I think we found her.
We'll be back.
Just the idea of her screaming, echoing through the whatever it is, it would echo off in a desert.
Well, no, I mean, at that point, she's in the stable.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, and it's kind of open air, so it's going to bounce off, you know, the walls. Of the town.
I think we found her.
We did. Man, I seriously thought about turning around.
Let's see. I'll Shoot a Clown. I think we found her. Good actress. I don't think this one needs a setup.
Okay.
I just like the idea that all of these guys were actually... What would you call the day before Christmas? 0 BC? 1?
Yeah, it would just be 0 BC, yeah.
I mean, they wouldn't know it was 0 BC at the time. It wouldn't be until afterwards.
Right.
So all these people in this clip were actually working in 0 BC.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on from here. Thousands of miles away, Gabriel pays a visit to a group of three wise men. As they sit around the campfire, listening to their transistor radio.
Could you please find something on the damn radio?
Through my wife, Mama Gears, she had to have that sis.
KBIL and Ron Chapman.
Hey, this is Bo.
Hey, hell, this is Gene.
What's up with there? Yeah, don't play the rest of that.
No.
No.
I love that.
What?
It's great.
Oh, my God.
It's got a nice little DFW radio tour of the classics. And it makes sense that all those people would have been on at that time.
Sort of. I don't know. I guess Imus was on some AM station here at one time, syndicated.
Sure.
Didn't make any difference.
Somewhere he was.
I had the jingle. I was using it.
Might as well. Chapman sounds good.
KBIL.
Oh, man.
It's three I's before V, I in the morning. Is that close?
Yes. Yes, we'll take it. Everyone's trying to figure it out anyway.
Okay. What is the cowboy audio that you got?
I got a little bit. I've got, would you like Coach Garrett first, or would you like what Tony had to say, or what Jason Witten had to say after the game?
I don't really care.
Do you know what happened?
I have no clue.
It's the biggest game of the year. You couldn't watch 5 minutes of it?
I was up here working on this damn Christmas special that we'll never do again. This better be this year. You guys better make sure this becomes a classic.
Because I remember it was like 2 weeks ago. You're like, what else is coming up that we could do? Like Valentine's Day?
Oh,
what do
no.
you think about that now?
Valentine's Day.
I told
Day.
Chloe. So you weren't up here Sunday night. Saturday night. While we're waiting on the pizza. I said, this would have been a lot quicker had we just recorded all of this on location. Gotten camels and horses and a manger and just recorded it on the spot instead of adding all the sound effects.
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds easy to Google camels walking on sand, but good luck finding a really good clip.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. I get that good audio, and it's unless you've really tried it, you have no idea.
Then you got to decide what to mix, where to put it. It's not good there. No, can't use that. Okay, Everett. People know Everett. He's innkeeper. What would he be listening to as he opened the door? I could be listening to heavy metal, Judas Priest, a knife show, baseball, knife show.
Yep.
I'll put the knife show in. I'll try that. Is it too loud? People are going to get it. I don't care anymore.
I think you should keep doing it the way you've been doing it, the way that you've been doing this show for years, which is do it for us, and then hopefully some others enjoy it along the way.
And I got an email from a chick. I want to hear the Christmas special this year. However, I listen through RussMartin.fm because I'm in San Antonio and can never listen on iHeart because of my schedule. My membership just expired and I want to renew, but now I'll only be paying for a few days since you guys are going to be off pretty quick for the rest of the year.
Okay.
I was wondering if I could pay a reduced rate somehow. I've been paying monthly for about a year and a half and haven't missed one show. Some I've listened to twice. I want to hear this show, but I really don't want to renew for a whole month.
Because she knows that for Christmas we're going to be off.
Yes. I emailed back. I went, you ever try this same template at the grocery store?
Or the gym or anywhere else that has membership?
You ever tried it with your cable provider? Hey, you know what? I don't feel like paying for all these channels. These channels aren't brand new every week. I don't like when all the major news networks, because Friends takes the whole summer off.
I will not need electricity for the entire month. Can I? Don't you have a small package, like a electricity sampler? After the grocery store reply, she sent back, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
What do you... And it's not something that's worth... Gonna be worth selling. Not like you, we could put it on .fm.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This one time buy.
Ooh. Maybe you should get Odell to help.
But you got to call now.
Call right now.
Sorry, that was Luke Bryan.
And you're really worried about? Let's see, we're gonna work. What is today? We've already worked half the month. You're worried about wasting $5 because it's $10 a month.
Yeah. And some people are already on vacation.
You know, some people, when they say that they're coming back next year, we don't even know what time of the year.
We just trust that they'll show up.
Okay. Need a break here?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
404. This is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Over to myplates.com traffic center. In KEGL's Black Thunder.
Sorry, we didn't have any cough drops. All right, hold on a second. Let me pull up some traffic. Let's see. Let's start off in Dallas. Eastbound I-30, right at Loop 12. We've got an accident blocking the on-ramp traffic. There's jacked up back from Loop 12. Also in Carrollton, northbound I-35 between Beltline and Crosby. Road construction has the left lane shut down. Your backup is back from 121. And in Fort Worth, eastbound Northwest Loop 820, right at Quebec Street. Got an accident there on the service road that has traffic kind of jacked up in the area. If you see an accident out there, call the Allstate Traffic Tip Line. Phone number is 214-866-8888. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Shell V-Power Premium Gasoline. Clear skies tonight, 42 for the low. Then tomorrow, sunny and a high around 54. Right now, 64. The 97.1 to Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
All right, catch me up on what I miss.
First of all, they won 38-27.
Against Philly?
Yeah, against the Eagles. Which last night's game for both teams was a must-win, even more so for the Cowboys, just because they had already lost to the Eagles, so they needed it to take control of the NFC East. In doing so, they take control of the NFC East and control their own destiny. If they maintain this lead, win the division, they're in the playoffs, and yay, we're all happy. We're back to where we haven't been in a while.
Okay.
It wasn't easy though, even though it started out that way. They actually jumped up to a 21-0 lead. But then the Eagles came back to score 24 unanswered to go up 24-21. Then Cowboys would pour on a little bit extra in the final 38-27. So after the game, cut six, quarterback Tony Romo was asked, how do you win big games like this?
Put your head down and go do your job. That's what it is. It's nothing more or less. It's literally about execution. And if you're good enough, you'll be able to eventually execute, find a way, and do things that are positive. And we started off real good. They got hot there for a little bit, and then I think you just have to, in those moments, you got to be tough mentally and tough physically. You got to say, I'm willing to put it on the line right now and go out and do it.
It's not a good thing to say.
Really?
Okay, so there are other days where you don't really put your job on the line. You're not being really tough. Which days are those? Which teams do you use that mentality against? If I'm Jerry Jones, I'm paying you that much money, I want you like that every day.
Well,
it's like in court, if you're being, you're on the witness stand, mm-hmm. and you say, okay, well, to be honest with you, all right, so everything else you told me to this point is you haven't been honest. Same concept. That's why they tell you, don't say that.
Right.
But now, go ahead.
The good thing, though, is that these are sports writers. They're not attorneys asking the questions. So, but if
how
one
do you win a big game? You play bigger.
In essence, yeah.
What do you want me to say? We play every game. Here's what he should have said. We play every game as hard as we can. There are times we're fortunate and we're the better team, and that's always our goal. We're Dallas Cowboys. Next question. If somebody asks me another stupid one, I'm going to kick you right square in your ass. And say Joseph.
That would make for an entertaining post-game press conference. So they went to tight end and team captain Jason Witten, and he was asked how this team has become mentally tough.
Will and fight, those are things that
that's
we emphasize.
Cut seven.
Cut seven says Santa Claus, even Santa Claus takes a crap.
Is there one that's titled Witten?
Okay, I see that.
Yeah, that one.
Well, don't get cute and go, we'll cut seven.
Well, no. I'm not getting cute. I'm just saying.
Well, I think we've grown, you know. We're committed together. We've worked our tails off since March, April, May.
Who is this?
Jason Witten.
The coach?
No, this is our tight end.
Who am I thinking about?
You're thinking of Jason Garrett.
Oh, okay.
He comes later.
Well, I think we've grown, you know. We're committed together. We've worked our tails off since March, April, May. I think past experiences, you know, the coming up short in week 17, we've reflected on that and looked at it, and no, you got to go execute, and it's drives like that. So, just nobody had to be the hero. Just go do our job. Tony did a great job of leading the way. Big plays to Marco, Dez, Cole on that drive, and just a really good job of us to answer back when they made some plays, and defense got some big stops for us.
Do you feel smarter?
Luckily, they don't have to take college courses on answering questions like this.
No.
Because none of them really seem to answer anything.
It's mostly cliched.
And cliches, that's just something you grow up knowing.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to take a special course on just answering nothing. There are too many variables. I can't tell you why our variables worked better than theirs. We played good. That guy right there threw stuff. The guy right down there caught stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we did more of those things gooder than them.
But that's in essence what it is.
Well, that's why you can't really give them a question. All right, what is it like playing after your leg's been amputated? Well, obviously, I have to hop quicker. I can't make as many side dashes.
That's pretty tough.
I could do the drop thing, but it's harder to get back and do the weave. I don't know how you tell. It's bad enough to have to go out and play a bunch of against guys as big or bigger than you, get your ass pumped every time.
Yeah.
When I say beat, I don't mean you lose. I mean you getting your ass beat up.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, you got to talk to a bunch of reporters who are going to critique your abilities.
Especially when, also keeping in mind, most of those reporters asking you the questions and critiquing your abilities and your performance don't know 10% of what you know about the game. There are some exceptions, but for the most part, they're just asking questions like, so, and I'm not making this up, that was a pretty big win for you guys tonight. Talk about how you feel after a big win.
I feel big.
Do you?
I think if they started answering with game as stupid answers as the questions, maybe the reporters would maybe take a little time to write out some decent questions.
A lot of times, though, the reporters, when they're asking these questions after the game or even during media availability during the week, they're asking questions to get a certain type of quote for their story. They can sort of lead them down like by framing a question a certain way.
Doesn't matter how you frame the question. You're always going to get these really noncommittal answers. How'd you win a big game? Had to put it on the line. Play hard. Focus hard. Be tough. Just like a Texas truck.
Had to practice hard. March, February, April. Blah, blah, blah.
Before that, man, we off bad.
February. That was pretty much his big party.
Okay, the off-air light's going off again. The new digital display in front of me says system's normal. But the primary system that's supposed to alert us is flashing in my face. Do you know what it is down there, Chloe?
Everything looks normal down here.
Okay. Luckily, we have the redundant backup of the listeners.
Yes.
So in this case, it's fine to call up and say, you're off the air. Because we wouldn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
We're listening pre-delay, so we're not actually listening straight off the air.
Right.
So when I used to work over Fox 33, I'd be editing the TV show, middle of the night on a Saturday night, by myself, just like I was up here with this Christmas special. Man, there were some bad deja vu moments over this past weekend. Where you want to turn around and go, hey, JD, do you think this edit? Oh, that's right, you're not f-ing here.
Wow.
But they would call up.
TV station's off the air.
Really? You don't think we can see that?
Well, what's going on?
It's new Fox, a static show. Like it?
Why, let me watch this first one and I'll let you know.
And Bob Dickinson, one of the engineers that worked there, he said we would really have people call up and complain about Matlock.
What would they complain about with Matlock?
I don't like the fact that he wears the same clothes every week.
That is just fascinating to me.
We're talking about the late 80s, early 90s when they're calling. Matlock had been off the air for years. Mm-hmm. So even if it was like some of these old people got wrapped up into the shows and really thought this is happening right here, right now. There are cameras. This is you know, pre-reality show. This is Matlock was the first reality show. That and Murder, She Wrote.
They're all live.
You go in there and you tell that Ben Matlock that, first of all, he don't know what he's talking about on this case.
Uh-oh.
You tell him to change clothes. I'm sick of that tweed, whatever that is he wears every single time.
That light gray.
I could have a lawyer could he be if he ain't got to change clothes? You put me on hold, go tell him I'll wait.
All right, what's the next clip?
Next, cut eight, is Coach Garrett, who you recognize. And he was basically asked, what does this team have that makes it special?
Will and fight, those are things that we emphasize, are really, really important. The people who are most successful in life, the teams that are most successful, have a lot of that, and I think we demonstrated that tonight. Obviously got off to a really good start, but they're a good football team. We knew they were going to battle back. We knew it was going to be 60 minutes. I thought we made really critical plays in all three areas to help us win this game. And obviously what you said, the overriding factor was our will and our fight, our determination to get it done.
When is this season over?
2 weeks.
Because I don't know how much more of this I can listen to.
But here's the problem.
What?
It's 2 weeks left in the regular season, but right now, they're going to go to the playoffs. If the season ended today, they'd be in the playoffs, which means another week.
We knew it was going to be 60 minutes. Sometimes he says 60 minutes. Sometimes he says 3 hours, 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah. Other times he'll say, you know, it's a full four quarters. They have four quarters in this game. You got to play all of them. That'll let you just play a couple.
We have learned that. What am I doing, through the phone?
Yeah, through the phone.
We have learned that because there are many times I have had to go back and encourage the players to come back after halftime. We have found from not returning to halftime, you lose. Even if you're ahead.
Oh, God.
Stupid rules.
Alfie, what's line two?
He's calling to tell us we're on air.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Give him something nice. I don't care. Just get rid of him.
Got it.
And they're a good football team. We knew they were going to battle back. We knew it was going to be 60 minutes. I thought we made really critical plays in all three areas to help us win this game. And obviously what you said, the overriding factor was our will and our fight, our determination to get it done.
Well, don't you sound like a bunch of Marines? Our will and our fight and our determination.
It's like high school football, little things they hold up. Will, fight, fight, fight.
The little signs the cheerleaders hold up. Go fight, win. Hey, that's a good idea. Our cheerleaders are smarter than we are.
I think maybe we could win if we got posters that said, go fight, win, and then come back and we're going to f-
Oh, I'm going to win today.
The other one?
Cut nine, Coach Garrett again. He was basically asked, so how did you win today?
Yeah, you just grind away. We have great respect for them as a football team. They have really good players. They're obviously very well coached. And, you know, they came down to Dallas and won the game in Dallas, fair and square. That's what happens in this league. And we felt like coming out of that game when we did things the right way, when we did things technically the right way, when we're fundamentally sound, we did a good job stopping them and moving the football. And when we didn't, they had success. And they had more success than we did on that particular day. We tried to learn from the tape and come back. You know, we played these guys before. We played a really good game.
Really good game.
Played these guys before. I actually could identify them in the lineup.
Hey, I just saw these guys like a week and a half ago. Hi, you remember me?
Yeah, you ruined our Thanksgiving Day, remember? Souls.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was a huge win last night, and now they control the division. Hopefully that maintains. They play the Colts at home next week. But the other thing, as a Cowboys fan, that this makes you so happy is that the Eagles fans are pretty much some of the worst fans on the planet. Every team, every fan base has its bad eggs. But I don't think any team has as many as Philly fans.
What's wrong with Philly?
You remember back in the 90s when they threw the frozen D-cell batteries on the field at players and at Coach Jimmy Johnson?
Yes.
Okay. They also they booed Santa Claus.
Wow.
Yeah. When Michael Irvin had his neck injury on the field in Philadelphia, they all stood and clapped. When at the time you didn't know if he was dead, because it looked like he may have broken his neck, and they're all clapping. Yay. Or even then last night, there was a screen cap on Facebook I came across of a Eagles fan, and he said, "I'd rather lose 10 million games than be forced to be a Cowboys fan and live in the worst state ever invented, Texas."
Oh, I'll kick your ass for that.
That's the kind of mentality that comes into it. It's just like, at a certain point, you need to remember that.
Who said this?
It's an Eagles fan.
Just a screen cap from a tweet?
From Facebook, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, come back down here again. Mm-hmm. See if we don't throw frozen interstate batteries out of the stands.
Yeah.
Car batteries. Little D-cells.
They had last night the team bus going into the stadium. The Cowboys team bus got hit with beer bottles and eggs.
Damn.
And everyone expected it. That's the sad thing. You had Brad Sham and guys like that and Babe Laufenberg on the bus tweeting about it like, "All right, well, we know we're close to the stadium. We just got hit by eggs." And it's nonchalant. It's just expected.
I heard somebody talking about it before the game. Forget where I was going. It was around 5:30.
Okay.
So
the game started 2 hours later.
Yeah. And Hoover was on the bus. They were kind of impressed. They said, because there's a big hill or whatever that we came over. He goes, "Somebody in Philly's got a damn good arm chucking eggs that far."
Well, they've also got a lot of experience. They've had plenty of time to build up arm strength over the years.
If they know that's going to happen every time, why wouldn't the Philadelphia police be nice about this? And maybe arrest people for doing that?
I don't know. And the other sad thing is that as an Eagles fan, you just hit a bus carrying the Cowboys. But the problem is, that's not the Cowboys' bus. They're in your town. They rented that bus from a Philadelphia business. So all you're doing is egging a local businessman.
Yeah, but we gonna get our money back at the bus company.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because we don't give them $9 waivers. Well, if it's just a local bus, how do they know it's a Cowboys bus?
Because it's the only big bus carrying a bunch. It's going to be a bunch of buses in a row headed towards the stadium.
Oh.
And the Eagles buses are going to have Eagles stuff all over them. They know.
I don't know how you get wrapped up in anything. Anything like that. To where you hate somebody so much that you want to go out, unless they just consider it good-natured camaraderie.
Some do, and that's fine. And that's, you know, if you want to trash talk and all fun, then yeah, have at it if you feel like it. But then you also get it's like, why do you feel the need to throw eggs at someone else's property? Why do you feel the need to stomp some guy's head into the pavement in the parking lot because he's wearing the jersey of the team you don't like? Why do you feel the need to get on Facebook and post, "Man, I hate Texas." Yeah. I don't know. Maybe you're a whore. Maybe we didn't want you.
One day as a fan, the Dallas Cowboys, do you think we care? Do you think that's going to change anybody's opinion anywhere?
No.
People that want to hate, they're already with you. Us, you think we're going to take the time for the entire state? You keep mouthing, we will move the entire state up there, and we'll stomp your ass.
Absolutely. And it's also a huge case of ring envy, championship envy. Philip, the Dallas Cowboys have 5 Super Bowl trophies. 5 different style of Super Bowl rings that Cowboys players get to wear. Philadelphia, 0.
Really?
Ironically, an egg. Egg-shaped.
They have no Super Bowl wins?
Mm-mm.
Do they do this to every team that goes into Philly? Or they just hate us the most.
They hate us, I think, probably the most. But, I mean, the division rivals, I'm sure they do similar stuff
to
the
Giants. I know I
got to
read that copy in this break. Stop handing it to me. I can see it.
Okay, sorry.
Because Sherry's Berries, he keeps pushing it. Got to read it first into the break. I know that. Sherry's Berries knows that. I'll get to it. Now you've laid the paper over a button I'll need to push in a couple hours.
So he moves it an inch.
We always enjoy going into a town and having eggs thrown at us.
To answer your question, though.
I don't know. I've now been confused by my buttons being covered up. I can no longer coach the Dallas Cowboys. In fact, that's the reason I'm holding this press conference.
Oh, no. You're stepping down?
They're not ugly to everybody.
No. They're not going this far when the Jaguars come into town.
We were just fortunate that we were able to put another check mark in the WDNL column.
WDNL?
Yeah. We did not lose.
Sorry. I think you... Never mind. Whatever your system is, you stick with it, Coach.
Do I have to talk to you in person for you to understand?
No, I got it.
You always want to have more check marks in the WDNL than the WDNW.
Which stands for?
We did not win.
Wouldn't it just be easier to do like a win column and a loss column? Just one letter to remember?
Oh, it's easy on Mondays. Just go back and look at it. Most people don't get that football is pretty much a straightforward game, although it is fraught with confusing rules. Too many people coming at you all at one time. Having to show up for work at different places every week.
That is true. That can be challenging.
And other subtle nuances and idiosyncrasies.
That is true, actually.
But we have found that we can eliminate many of our confusions by wearing these protective devices on our heads called...
Helmet.
No, they're heads. What are you, stupid?
Clearly.
Called helmets. Then we notice something. There's a large star on the side of each side of this device. And after a brief visit to Wiki, we have learned that this star represents many things. Praise God!
Oh, hallelujah!
It represents Lone Star State. Praise Jesus!
Amen!
It represents something in the heavens to reach for. It is also a gift from God. Praise Jesus!
Hell yeah!
And it is with all those things that gave us the ability to win today. But today we conquered because...
Why?
We are the Dallas Cowboys!
Hell yeah! Woo!
And here's one just for the video feed. But today we caught boys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where were you last night?
Beating off, I think. Oh, yeah. And football is neat.
The Russ Martin Show.
.434, another check on traffic over the MyPlates.com traffic center. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic is brought to you by the Texas Lottery. Let's get started off in Dallas, northbound 75, just after Walnut Hill. Got an accident there. It's blocking the left lane. Your backup there is all the way back from Woodall Rogers. In Garland, southbound 635, right at Northwest Highway. Got an accident there. It's blocking the left lane. Your backup is back from Plano Road. Moving into Carrollton, southbound I-35, between Beltline and Crosby Road Construction as the left lane shut down. Your backup's back from 121. And finally in Fort Worth, southbound 35W between Basswood and Weston Center. Highway's completely shut down due to an accident. Traffic is completely stopped back from Golden Triangle. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Supercuts. Tonight, clear skies, a low of 42. Tomorrow, sunny and a high of 54. Right now, 63 and 97.1 to Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
I don't know. It should be up. Jacob said they were going to put it up today. Why? They wanted to start this auction for the foundation today. I haven't had a chance to pull up my website. Kelly Kibler gave me $15,000 of advertising, said you can auction it off for the foundation.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. I remember you mentioning that a couple weeks ago.
And initially, she brought up $11.90. Just give me the station. I'm not sure. I think it's just advertising on the Eagle. My guess is, were you able to pull up my website?
Yeah, I got it pulled up.
I'm scared to open browsers because I don't like to close in here.
Don't worry about it. I got you covered. Yeah, you just go to RussMartin.com. It's the first thing in the list form on your page. Russ Martin Show Listeners Foundation Auction. What? Been on $15,000 worth of media advertising on 97.1 The Eagle. Why? 100% of the proceeds benefit the Russ Martin Show Listener Foundation, supporting families of fallen police officers and firefighters. When? Now through Friday, December 19th, 2014 at 5 p.m. Central Time. Reserve met? No. Description, $15,000 media campaign to be executed in January and or February 2015. A KEGL marketing consultant will work with you to customize your campaign based on your ad needs. Media to run across on-air broadcast, streaming audio via iHeartRadio, and digital assets built around current rates and availability at the time of placement. One winner will be chosen. Email your bid to russmartinauction@gmail.com.
Well, that sounds legit.
It does.
Why didn't they just use our Hotmail account?
I think we forgot the password.
And now Kibler said that they'd done this before for Kids Kids Foundation. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how well it worked out. I'd never heard about it.
But it makes sense if, you know, for any sort of a business, obviously. If
well, smaller business.
A great deal.
Who normally can't afford a major market station, you end up having to advertise. Yeah, you find stations in Dallas-Fort Worth you can afford, but nobody listens to it.
Yeah, so it's, yeah, what effect is are you really getting or having?
It's like $11.90. They could sell that airtime, but who's going to hear it? Eventually somebody will.
Mm-hmm.
I get enough complaints via email about this signal every day. All right, I'll just run out to Rockwall and I'll kick it up another notch.
I'm sure people appreciate
that. You think I've got control of the transmitter from my house?
Some people think...
it's not Rockwall. It's, I think the main transmitters, towers are in Irving. I think it's Rockwall where the nighttime pattern comes from. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, but at least you know. If someone put a gun to my head and said, tell me where the KFXR towers are, I'd be like, just kill me. I don't know.
What do you care? Everything that they broadcast is communistic. You think anybody can hear that station?
Yeah, you're like the one guy.
We're happy to have you. Has anybody from Nielsen visited with you? So I just thought that this was maybe a bad time of the year to start the auction. I don't know how it goes with companies and budgets. We got this much money left. Do we have to spend it by the end of the year? Or do we?
Again, it depends.
Do we have to wait till after the first of the year when all the new budgets kick in?
That depends on the company. I mean, for a company as large as ours, yeah, budget's already locked in. They're not going to be doing anything massive right now. Anything that they were going to do now has pretty much, they planned that out months ago.
No, they didn't, but I made them.
What'd you do?
I just, when we were negotiating my renewal.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I'm not going to be ugly.
Yep.
I think we already talked about all this in the air. Said, I'm not going to be ugly. I'm going to give you a number.
Oh, yes, yes.
And that's going to be it. And by saying it's non-negotiable doesn't mean I'm being a dick. I'm just, I could ask for a lot more. We could play the games.
Right.
But that's, it's a waste. It's an absolute waste.
Yeah. So in other words, you're basically giving your best and final. Here you go. Right there. See, I'm actually curious to see what happens on these bids, because it sounds like it's set up just a silent auction. You email your bid to russmartinauction@gmail.com, as opposed to in the past where we had online auctions. It was the bidding back and forth. It was kind of like eBay. You could see the prices going up.
Well, we didn't want to do it on eBay because then they get a percentage.
Right. And this makes sense. You do a silent auction in this fashion.
But I don't know if those work better than noisy auctions.
I don't know.
Noisy auctions, if you're in the middle of it, I mean a real one where you're in a ballroom, and if you're drinking, you start bidding more money than you ever made.
Kind of like the one time.
Yeah. Got close. Became a pissing match between me and some guy on the other side of the room bidding on the... it didn't make any difference. The money, first of all, I had it. And the money was going to the Operation Kindness.
Right. But you're right. At one point, it ceases to be about buying that picture of the hurt dog. It's not about giving the money to the cause. It's now, I'm going to beat your ass, dude.
It's about your manhood, your pride, and you've got an entire room, and you've got the MC going back and forth. We got $800 over here, back over here. All right, I got $900. The other guy jumps up to $1,200. $1,400. And you're thinking, man, there's some drunk ass bidding $1,400 on that painting.
And then you realize,
I'm the drunk ass.
All right. And then the other guy bids $2,000. Here's my house. Take it.
And I had a date, which makes everything. I don't even have to explain it.
No.
Come on, baby. He's yelling.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. You buy this painting, and then later you can buy me $14 sake bombs.
No, actually, this chick I liked.
Oh, okay, sorry.
And you know, you just finally you collapse. It's like, screw it. I've done enough for this shelter.
So, what was the final sale price?
I think around $1,700-$1,800.
Woo,
man! And I didn't know that they were going to do it. Operation Kindness gave me a replica of it anyway.
Man, that other bidder had to be pissed.
I would have been pissed had I bought it.
That's what I'm saying.
No, if I had two of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's even worse.
Okay.
Well, it's like a two for one.
Yeah, I don't know what they set the reserve at on the advertising.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see some of the emails. We'll start this out at $55.
You are now banned from further bids in this auction. Make it a legitimate bid, though, especially if you've got a business that could actually use this. Put in a respectable bid because you're getting 15 grand worth of advertising. So make it worth your while. At least put yourself in the running to have a chance at it.
Yeah, 15,000 on a good station.
Yeah. Yeah,
if you it doesn't have to be during this show. It could be any day part. You want to run all 15 grand on Skull? I could give a rat's ass less. Could or couldn't? Couldn't give a...
Right.
No, whatever.
Yeah.
Always. Shut up. All right.
Quit yelling at yourself.
You run into Nikki Sixx, Chris Ryan, overnights, weekends. I don't care what you do with it.
Or one Rust live read.
Yeah, if you want live reads, that's gonna eat that up pretty fast. If you would like to look at my references, you can start with Rodney Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that goes to Russ? Damn! That's more than state road taxes on gasoline. What do you think? Because I know they're going to ask me before the auction ends. And we're going to have to talk about this every day at least for a minute or two.
That's fine.
To remind people.
I'm happy to do it.
What do you think we set the reserve at?
Five. And honestly, that's low. Mm-hmm. But I think at minimum, five.
Okay.
Is that what you were thinking?
I hadn't even thought about it.
That was just the first number that came to my mind. Any bid less than five grand, then you're really not taking it seriously. You're just.
And I don't know if they put it on the webpage. I'll say it now, so if Jacob's listening, you can add this to it. It is not tax deductible because you are, unless we make it this way. Hey, well, first of all, let me say it this way. It is not tax deductible because you are bidding on airtime. You are getting a product.
Right.
If you just gave us the money and we said, as a thank you gift, We will now give you $15,000 in advertising. And what you gave us is tax deductible because you didn't buy the airtime. It was a thank you gift.
Man.
That's what PBS has been doing for decades.
Yeah, but they throw in more tangible items like a coffee mug and a CD.
Mm-hmm. You want to give me $5,000 for a coffee mug and or give me $5,000? I'll mail you a coffee mug and a CD.
As a thank you.
Yes, as our thank you gift. And that's the way that I always wondered. And finally, when we were setting up the foundation, I went, all right, I get that now.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know why they always said our thank you gift. Because it's not like they were just saying, hey, here's Eagles Greatest Hits or whatever one of their compilation albums was, Hotter Than Hell or Hell is Packed or whatever. Yeah. I know they're not trying to sell me that for $150.
No.
Thank you gift. Did you ever do one of their telethons?
No, I never have.
I think I did it twice, and they realized he doesn't really fit in.
What were you doing? Were you part? Are you just on the phone?
Oh, freak! No,
you were in front of the camera. Mm-hmm. You were working it.
In fact, it was the Eagles concert. The Hell Freezes Over. Hell Froze Over.
Yeah, something like that.
I think it was Henley or whoever. At one point said, "If we get back together, Hell's going to freeze before this happens." And then they get back together, so they had to call the album "Hell Froze Over."
Yep, for it's our bad.
Gotta name it. Let's do that because we don't say, hey, we f***ed up. I forgot what I was going to say.
The telethon, the reserve for the auction.
Yeah, and they don't like you straying from the teleprompter when you're doing the PBS auction.
Do you remember what you're supposed to say?
It stopped for a second, and so I forgot what I threw in. And then, you know, we finished up that segment, and one of the girls came over. You can't say anything that's not on the prompter. I want to stop moving. What, you want me to just stare? I'm telling. I'm thinking all the time. I got to say stuff.
Yeah. Damn.
When you look at this Eagles album that we're selling for $150. Who couldn't use one of these? I'm surprised we got any left. Now, turn on the damn teleprompter before I make another deal with somebody.
No kidding. I'm going to start throwing in some other stuff. I'm about to create a package. I'm going to get some of these, some of those, give me a couple CDs, your hair.
I hosted, it's not Good Morning Texas. It was something on 11. It was Jody Dean and Brenda Teal. Their afternoon version of Good Morning Texas.
So I kind of remember that.
I forget what it was called. Jody was out for a week. They asked me to co-host.
They did?
For a week. Guess how many days it lasted? You know the answer. Because it's not like they were going to drag me off in the middle of the first day.
Gotcha. So just one whole day.
Mm-hmm. We're going through, you know, we're sitting there. I'm sitting there with Brenda Teal. We're reading the teleprompter. It gets to her part. She's not saying anything. And I put it out and went, and that's your name right there. She didn't care for that.
Well, what was she doing that she wasn't reading it?
I don't know. It just said, you know, Russ, my lines. Brenda, lines. I went, that's your part. I think that's your name.
And it makes sense. I think I would have done the same thing. I'm staring at the prompter. I see her name. I would then look over like you did, kind of lean in towards her and be like.
I didn't lean in. Oh, you just sat there and pointed straight at the camera. I went, isn't that your name right there? Do you want me to go ahead and read that?
Yeah.
Because it's got your name. I know you do this every day, and I'm not trying to be cocky or anything, but didn't want to step on any toes.
But that right there is you.
Yeah. It says right here it's where you talk. Now, if I'm wearing out my welcome.
You're right. It was different. I would have leaned in. You just pointed. isn't that you?
Oh, no.
Oh, see, that's just.
It's just a type of. Joyous feeling just to look at it, knowing that she does it every day, reads off a teleprompter.
That makes me want to do that. Where you get in that scenario and be like, you actually get paid for this? This is easy.
Yeah.
You didn't even write any of that?
You didn't write any of it? Is that why you're not reading it either?
Oh.
So did she say anything to you during the break?
No. I know as soon as it was all wrapped, somebody immediately came and got my wireless mic. Okay, what time tomorrow? We'll have Becky or somebody. No.
They never called?
Nope.
What kind of format was it? Was it sort of like a Regis and Kelly or now Michael and Kelly, Kelly Michael, whatever it is?
From what I can remember, like old PM Magazine, where you had a couple of hosts and they would pitch to a package.
Okay.
So it's not like we talked for an hour.
Gotcha. That's your name?
Yeah. I see right there on the teleprompter. I even said tele, and they don't like you saying that either.
TV people are so anal about that crap. My God.
And I've done television longer than Brenda Teal, if that's the right name. If it's not, I apologize. I've done more television than her by the time that show came around, the Texas around the tech state or whatever. I still can't remember the name. Don't get cocky with me. Actually, helped lug around equipment, write, direct, shoot, edit, produce, and still pulled higher ratings, higher than some of the Fox programming. Big Fox programs. Sometimes pull bigger ratings than the new Fox shows that were airing in 89.
Married with Children.
Never beat them. Cops. I forget what else was in that Sunday night block.
Okay.
So it's not like I was just some kind of radio schmo that didn't know how to do television.
To her, you were, though.
Well, at least I know how to read.
That's true.
And I could spot names, and that ain't my name. Oh, I could have read it, but I would have sounded like bipolar.
Yeah, right.
I think my sentence even ended with something like, so what do you think, Brenda?
It's a damn cue.
And she sits there and just going...
It's kind of like the fake smile, the nods. Yeah.
Like she's listening.
In her mind, though, God knows where she is, what she's doing, what list she's making.
And why didn't somebody in the booth, because they could talk to you through the little small earpiece.
Yeah.
Hey, words, yours, go. Don't let him talk no more. Don't worry, he won't come back tomorrow. He's an asshole. We got it. In the booth, I can hear you too. All right. Break now, Claude, or we have a couple of minutes?
We have a couple of minutes.
Okay. You got more audio? You want to slam TV people? There are a lot of radio shows that are off this week, so we don't have to be here. I'm here because I love my craft.
Amen. You'll love this. Someone that really loves their craft. Cut number four. This happened on, I think it was Saturday night. The Mavericks, our Dallas Mavericks, were playing the Golden State Warriors. They lost the game 105-98, but that wasn't the real story. The real story happened in the middle of the game when one of the Golden State Warrior players, his name is Maurice Spates, lost his sneaker. One of his teammates decided he'll pick it up and toss it to him.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Tyson Chandler is our center for the Dallas Mavericks, and he was having none of that.
Okay, that's not where I thought this was going.
How long can Mo Spates go with one shoe? Chandler knocked his shoe out of bounds.
Shouldn't that be a technical?
Steve Kerr's calling a timeout.
Yes, 20 seconds, because he's going to talk about that. You can't take the shoe and knock it further into the stands.
Now, Steve tried to call a timeout. Tom Washington had a foul here.
I thought you were going to say he threw it and... one of the Mavericks accidentally ran into it.
Oh, yeah, then causing a big rumble. No, this is much sillier than that, even though still while keeping the competitive edge, because Tyson Chandler said after the game, I'll do anything it takes to win, man. And if that means I'm going to knock a shoe out, I'm going to knock a shoe out. So it's like as he's running down the court, he just kind of stopped, saw the shoe flying, and then just went and swatted it like he's rejecting a shot, and it just went like three, four rows up.
What did the officials decide?
Well, what happened was he didn't break any rules per the book, apparently.
Yeah,
so
it's not like
he
pulled a shoe off and then threw it in the stands and could play now.
Right. It was like he took the guy's shoe off, beat him with it, and then ran home and screwed his wife.
Threw it in the neighbor's backyard. What? So what they ended up doing?
They called a timeout right there, so the guy put his shoe back on, and then they resumed the game. But they were wondering, that they had to go to the officials and say, is this some kind of foul? They're like, we didn't find anything in the book. Sorry. There's nothing in there about swatting a shoe.
I mess with that. What did he say? I'll do anything it takes to win?
Yeah, after the game, he's like, I don't care. I'll do anything it takes to win. He basically said anything for, some type of competitive advantage during the game, I'm going to do it to help my team win.
I'll pull his pants down and I'll right there. If that's enough to distract him.
Dirk even they asked him after the game about that play, and he said, partly because they lost and their defense was terrible, he said, actually, that was the best defensive play of the game.
So what do you think about this? I don't speak English anymore.
Yes, you do, Dirk. We know you do. You've been doing it for years.
And if the other team, if that player was dressed like a clown?
Man, I'll damn clown.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
505. Broadcasting with an effective radiated power of 100,000 watts. This is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Over to MyPlates.com Traffic Center. Alvy Coy is an Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by the Don Davis Auto Group. Let's get started off in Fort Worth, southbound 35W. Between Basswood and Western Center. Highway there is completely shut down due to an accident. Right now, traffic is completely stopped back from Alliance Gateway. Let's move into Hearst, southbound Loop 820, right at Glenview Pipeline. Got an accident blocking the two right lanes. Traffic there is backed up back from 183. Into Carrollton now, southbound I-35 between Beltline Road and Crosby Road. Construction there has a left lane shut down. Traffic is jacked up back from 121. I'm sorry, where was I? Northbound 75, just after Legacy, got an accident blocking the right lane. Traffic backed up back from Runner Road. You know, traffic there is jacked up bad. Finally in Dallas, northbound 75, just after Walnut Hill, got an accident blocking the right lane. Your backup is back from Woodall Rogers. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by the Texas Lottery. Clear skies tonight, 42 for the low. Tomorrow, sunny and 54. Right now, it is 63. The 97 won the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
What?
Oh, that's right. You can't really see the video feed we're setting.
No.
Chloe, what time is Rodney Anderson's live spot scheduled?
Next break.
Okay. I gave Rodney an HD webcam. I said, when you do your live call-ins, plug this webcam into your computer, get our engineers or whoever to set it up, and we'll run it on the video stream as well. It's not a big deal. You're not really picking up extra listeners because they're either listening to the off-air signal, the iHeart signal, or the stream signal.
Right.
So you want to be on? Fine. Here, I'll give you the camera.
Nice. So it's just like just a nice, cool extra thing for him.
Right. And obviously, they've already turned his camera on. He's working at his desk. It's just the top of his forehead. He's looking down.
Yep, that's him. That's Rodney's head.
What is that? Alfie, what does that look like over in the far right-hand corner?
That I can't tell. I know it's being hosted off of Google or something.
Well, I don't think Google would put in an air duct. Because that's what it looks like. It's not important. You know, the fact that he's the background in his office, that's almost whatever the backdrop is. It's almost sheer black, isn't it?
Yeah.
From here, it looks like it.
I think we can key something into the back. Doesn't have to be a green screen or blue screen. If it's a solid color, and the person, like say, if it's a black screen behind them, and Rodney isn't black,
right,
or he's not wearing anything dark, we can key whatever we want to in there.
Oh no.
I think Rodney would like to have a snappy background.
I think Rodney may need to burn that camera. Because your idea is snappy and his idea is snappy, I guarantee you, totally different.
Who wouldn't want a bunch of male naked strippers?
Yeah. Rodney. I don't think Rodney.
Or if they're naked, they wouldn't be strippers, but eventually they would be. Did you put a bunch of blackened? I'm going to stop there.
Blackened strippers. So spicy.
That is so odd. It just Alfie, did you change that on your own?
No, Jacob came in here during the last segment and was setting it up.
Does he know that we also use that feed for the traffic map that's very important to the radio listeners.
He does, but
well, what?
He just went ahead and set up Rodney's thing on it.
And you can't click back and forth?
No.
Really?
He set it up to where the screen takes up the entire thing. I think he did something because I think the computer just crashed.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rodney's not moving. Maybe he died.
No, he didn't die.
He ain't moving.
Well, maybe he's just working really hard.
Okay. Alfie, don't worry about it.
We'll just address it during the next break.
Got it.
Eating up too much important radio time. Or we just tell Rodney it works and just show his frozen forehead.
Did you blame him? Hey, yeah, you should have set up.
Don't they have software for people with webcams to where it's like motion detected to where you can like stick a mustache on them and it'll move with their head or a hat?
I believe so, yeah.
I think this may turn into a bigger bit than I planned on.
It really is frightening to watch your wheels turn.
Did you put two dead chinchillas on my head? I'll do it. I'll f*** a chinchilla.
I know you will.
Alfie, you weren't back from the drugstore when we played Kenzie's clip from the Christmas special, were you?
No, I wasn't.
Okay. I didn't play any of her singing and drumming.
Okay, cool.
Just the setup.
Anybody else got any better gifts?
A young girl steps forward.
Hey, Jesus. I'm the little drummer girl. I'm here to play you a song on my drum.
Well, at least we found a good actress.
That poor girl.
Hey, Jesus. Yeah. I will play you a song on my drum.
You don't know me. You just walk up and call him Son of God, the King of Kings. Just walk up and call me Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
What was Mary's last name?
Of Nazareth?
Yeah, Joseph and Mary. This is a pretty big story.
There's not often last names associated. Mother of God.
But when they got married, they had to be named something. You can't tell me in the Bible it does not say what their last Joseph's last name was.
Joseph Iscariot.
Wow. From Eight Is Enough?
That's. I think you're thinking of Judas, Dan.
Judas Iscariot?
Yeah.
All right, that's right. They weren't brothers.
Who's Judas Iscariot?
Bad Judas. Sold out Jesus.
Oh. Man, that had to suck. If you had to call the bad Jesus, a bad Judas, good Judas.
Well,
is there
a good
Judas?
No, there's just the one Judas. Oh. But it also depends on which story you believe when it comes to selling out of Jesus.
Well, was he an narc or not?
He was a narc. The difference is, though, there's some that believe he was just a good old-fashioned narc and he sold his buddy Jesus out to the Romans. Then there's the other side of, it's a much smaller faction, that believe Jesus told Judas he needed him to sell him out because Judas was supposedly the closest of all the apostles with Jesus.
We're talking about everybody at that big dinner table?
Yo-ho.
Okay. Do they have waiters and waitresses? You never saw them in the picture, or was that like buffet style?
It looked buffet style. Well, no, because all the food was laid out in front of them.
I'm just curious. Nobody's ever really brought that up. I thought I'd ask.
Yeah, I don't know if it was.
Man, it'd be a pain in the ass to pass stuff down all night long.
Yeah.
Well, that in the photo, you know, they're all on the same side of the table, so that's going to be hard on your neck. Like, if you want to know what you know.
You think maybe it was like one of the first Comic Cons? You know, where they're all on the same side?
Yeah, they're all at an appearance. It's a Q&A session.
Hey, could you write on this? First of all, I think it's screwy. I had to pay 15 Yahweh's or.
Sure, go with that.
Well, what was it?
I don't know the currency back then.
Roman denarii.
Yeah.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, I had to pay 15 denarii just for this picture. Sign it to my best friend, Ronaldo, love Jesus, and spell Jesus out where people can read it. I hate signatures when that was a, I already liked him, but that was something that just added to it when I asked James Garner to sign this TV guide I found out of the 70s where they had featured the Rockford Files.
Mm-hmm.
You can read his name. I don't even have to say, guess who signed this?
Right.
And every, his, I met his daughter 15 some odd years ago. She had written a book. She got her dad to send me a bottle from his winery. His
vineyard.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Autograph that for me. Exact same signature.
That's awesome. That's actually very common, especially I'll say like for athletes. I see their signatures more than I do, let's say, you know, movie stars and such. It's usually some form of, you can't read what it is. You might get the first initial of their first name and the same in their last name, but you wouldn't be able to know it. However, they usually are signing a photo of themselves, so maybe that helps. But yeah, I mean, if you saw, I don't know, Cole Beasley at a restaurant and you asked him to sign the napkin, he plays for the Cowboys.
Okay. I'm sorry. All I had was the... I don't get it. I'm confused. I should say something. Look, but I haven't said anything.
Either that or you're lost in the mall and you can't find your mommy.
Cole Beasley.
Yeah.
Okay.
Plays for the Cowboys. And if you saw him somewhere and said, hey, would you sign this napkin for me? You'd have to tell people who it is because you can't read the name.
I know some celebrities are going to say, well, you know, I have to sign so many, especially like at a Comic-Con. Just imagine how many Jesus went through in that picture, the portrait. You know what? They didn't even have cameras in, so they had to paint the picture.
Yeah, they sat there for hours.
That's the reason it was that many denarii.
That's why the one shot you see of the Last Supper, it's the same picture everywhere. There are no variations. There's no any getting up, talking. Jesus leaning this way, or you know, doing the finger trick with the one, cut your finger.
He leans over to Paul and says, "Hey, got your nose."
Oh, I fallen for this one. No, this time I really took it.
I hate it when Jesus plays that game. That's so, he really takes your stuff.
Hand me the bottle, please.
Yeah.
Forgets to give it back.
Yeah.
Jesus did that to me one time in the Sea of Galilee. Didn't ever get it back. Man still has my toe.
And then we're all there all night. Everybody ate. Check comes. Everybody stares at it.
Yeah.
I am not saying why.
No. Probably because they just... Hey, Chloe found that second layer.
You mean to tell me no? All I had was the wine and the crackers.
They all expect the Messiah to pay.
I wonder how long they all stared at it. Yep. Mm. Everybody at this table is real. Okay. What do you want to do? We haven't started news?
No, we haven't.
Do you have more audio?
I do.
I want to play the radio clip again from... The Christmas special.
You have to stop in the same place, though.
Okay.
Let's move on from here. Thousands of miles away, Gabriel pays a visit to a group of three wise men as they sit around the campfire listening to their transistor radio.
Could you please find something on the damn radio?
Through my wife, Mama Gears, you had to have that sis.
Hey, B.I.L. and Ron Chapman.
Hey, this is Bo.
Hey, hell, this is G.
Coming up tomorrow, we'll get a visit from...
Hey! They sound so young.
And Bo and Jim cut that specifically for us. And like it's audio that we pulled.
And after Alfie had me listen to it, because their office is right next to mine, I immediately went in and gave them both fist bumps and hugs.
Did they understand why? Or did they both look at you and go, did we get fired again?
No, they knew why.
Is Meals on Wheels not coming?
No, they're you're getting an extra one this week.
Did they cancel our blood drive?
No, you're good.
We really need that blood.
I know, you're going to live another year, guys. You're fine.
Bo. It's one of the... I don't want to blow this out of proportion. One of the last few radio people that's not a radio person.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what he's doing. But if he didn't tell you what he did, you'd know, first of all, he wasn't running a tech company.
You would probably guess that.
I think he still cuts his show prep out of the newspaper.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When we were still doing mornings, I passed him, or he was sitting in the break room with his reading glasses on, clipping out USA Today, and went, that's a real man.
I know.
Not just the fact that he can cut newspaper, it's just something about watching a man sit down and prepare for his job.
Yeah. And it was one of those things because I think most people would look at that scene and then immediately tell him, well, you know, you can find that stuff online. I never once considered that because I know he knows it's available. He knows it's there, clearly.
And it's really not that much different than what we do. We go online, find news stories, print them out. If we decide to keep them, we keep them. If we don't, we don't.
Yeah.
He's doing the same thing.
Yeah, he's just doing it, you know, just old-fashioned.
Mm-hmm. Instead of having set it in front of a computer going through a browser, you just open up the newspaper.
Yeah, and clearly it works for him. That's why I never once thought, you know, you can see that online. He, to me, that's probably part of his morning zen. He enjoys it more than likely.
Not once does it come up. Non-responsive script and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That's true. There's something to be said for the old school.
Yeah, his USA Today has never crashed on him. but he is. He's just a... You wouldn't know what he did unless he told you.
Yeah.
Jim's the same way. Jim just hates people.
Jim doesn't hate people.
He does. He's, I don't think he's that much older than me, but he's just a slightly older version of me. That's what I aspire to finally rise to a level of hating people like Jim does.
And therefore the people around you rise to the level of barely tolerable by you.
I got lost, but I'm sure I know that was a slam. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Why is Mayor Price on TV?
Bike without a helmet. All right, Mayor, thank you so much for donating and issuing that challenge. Okay, we need helmets for that bike. And this is the person who helped make all those bikes possible, James.
Are they raising money for people who fall off bikes without helmets?
From what we've heard, it sounds that way.
Since that's what happened to Betsy. It is a tragedy that should not happen to anyone ever again. I fell off my bike without a... No, I think she did have a helmet.
Yeah, I think that was part of her push, is that because of her helmet, she only sustained the injuries that she did. Had she not had the helmet, she might have died.
How bad of a... When she's riding in a park or whatever and falls?
Yeah, she hit something and then flew over and off the bike. And I know at the very least, she got a concussion. I can't remember if it was a open head wound or not, but...
The accident would have been a lot worse if I had been sober.
She was not drunk riding that bike. Stop it.
You have no clue.
Just because we haven't asked her and gotten an official answer on the record.
Even Mayor Rawlings said you don't go up against Mayor Price if you're talking about drinking. If there was some type of card game and Rawlings and Price were playing, and finally Betsy just pushes the entire city of Fort Worth. There, a call.
All in?
Yeah. All right, take Dallas. Take it all.
He's got to carve out the Highland Park in the middle, though. You don't get all that.
We don't really own that, but just take Dallas. You already sent Mayor Cluck home crying. I'll bet you she's also into a Texas Hold'em, and I don't mean in the sexual way.
No, I'm with you.
She just looks like a poker player.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you're absolutely right. I could absolutely see her, you know. Her ultimate bet would be City of Fort Worth. Here we go. Here's the Stockyards. I call.
We got plenty of things in Fort Worth. Let's start out with a nice game of strip poker. I'm going to go ahead and take my panties off just to start.
Could we wait till we start playing?
No, want to show I mean business. That way you can see the real Stockyards.
It's furry and got horns.
People, never mind.
I consider it an honor that the mayors of Dallas and Fort Worth both listen to the show, respect the show.
Yes.
But it also makes me embarrassed when I have to talk sexual about them.
You see, the thing is, you don't have to.
Yeah, I have to.
You don't. You don't have to do it.
I talk sexual about Mayor Cluck, but he's never called us.
I know. And that's probably a reason why. He doesn't want to be objectified by you. He's probably had to deal with being objectified his entire life.
I don't consider this a valid reason, but maybe call over the holidays. Hey, I see that you've written a few checks to falling Arlington police officers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the mayor of Arlington. I just wanted to call up and go,
bonka, bonka, bonka.
Thank you, Easter Mayor.
And that's why he doesn't call.
Yeah.
Maybe if he called, I'd stop them.
Bonka, bonka, bonk.
Really? I think you'd produce an entire new chicken dance intro for him.
I'm the mayor of Arlington. I'm Robert.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Cluck. Chicken do the dance. Chicken do the dance. Bonka, bonka, bonk.
I'm 54.
I know you are. 54.
Then that punchline is going to get even better as I get older.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll still do it.
Chicken do the dance. Chicken do the dance. Buck a buck a buck.
And you're how old?
I'm 79.
Yeah, I imagine the stream will be really popular at that time.
Yeah, I wonder what he's going to do today. He's going to crap his pants? Is he going to pee where it goes up over the console into the air? I remember one day his colostomy bag blew up and covered up the camera. 79-year-old man, still on the radio, blowing wads all over the camera. Thank God Bo came in and saved him.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
5:35, another check on traffic. Over the MyPlates.com Traffic Center. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by Bosch Icon Wiper Blades. Getting started off Fort Worth, southbound 35W between Basswood and Western Center. Highway there is still completely jacked up, completely closed due to an accident. Traffic is completely jacked up back from Alliance Gateway. This one also causing a backup on 287 back from Harmon Road. Into Grand Prairie, southbound 161. That's the bush just before I-30. Got an accident blocking the left lane. Traffic is backed up back from Conflans Road. In Carrollton, southbound I-35 between Beltline and Crosby. Road construction there has the right and left lanes shut down. That has traffic backed up back from 121. And finally, in Cedar Hill, southbound 67 between Beltline and Cooper Street. Highway there completely shut down due to an accident. Traffic is backed up back from Joe Wilson Road. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by REI. Clear tonight, 42 for the low. Tomorrow, sunny, a high of 54. Right now, 62 degrees and 97.1 the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
No, they'll write songs like that, like this bumper. They're afraid they're about to lose the bass player.
I'll show them.
All right, we're going to write this song for you. See, calm down.
When the bass player starts getting testy.
Well, I'm sure it's hard finding a really good bass player that's also capable of moving stuff around. Reload that one. I didn't really flash on me till just now. But that's a big bass start.
Mm-hmm.
A nice thump. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
You get a nice bass slide.
Yep.
Yeah. We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
It's my solo. Those other noises, that's just the skinny pussy guitar guy is playing. I'm the backbeat. I'm the heartbeat of the band. Of course, I think he's just hitting one note, isn't he?
Maybe two.
Yeah, it's probably not more than one or two. Mm. And I knew nothing about bass players until we started the band. Oh, you got to have a bass player. Why? Well, he's got to stand close to the drummer. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Is he like a service
player?
Yeah, service musician. You know, to keep the drummer calm.
Yeah, pretty much.
I see a new meme coming, because there's tons out there about bass players.
Why does he have to stand close? Well, the drummer is the backbeat of the band, or the heartbeat. I don't know. One of them's the heart, one of them's the backbeat. I don't know. Who's what? Is it the bass guy or the drummer?
Drummer.
Okay. The bass player's for what?
He's to add bass, to add
yeah, I know, that's
so, the foundation to it all, anyway, towards the sound tinny.
We have to work really close to each other, the bass player and the drummer. Mm-hmm. We have to be in perfect synchronicity. Well, first of all, that album sucked. Second of all,
wow,
we don't really need both. The drummer can play without you, but we can't play without a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the first time he came up, I was supposed to play Highway to Hell with Everett at some radio station function.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the amps went out, and he goes, we don't have another amp. I went, well, that guy with the four-string guitar's got an amp.
Yeah.
He goes, well, we need him. He's a bass player. I went, first of all, even I knew this, it's Highway to Hell. It's got bass in it, but it don't come in for a long time.
That is true.
If you had to do without one of the instruments, either bass, drum, guitar. The bass is going to go. Sorry.
Yes. You're the first one that gets thrown into the fire.
Mm-hmm. And it's really not even debatable.
Great White knew that.
Yeah.
Now, Highway to Hell, I think it's got bass in it. I just don't know where it comes in.
It's a ways in.
We listen to it in the studio. We never get past the first or second hook lines. I mean, just for a second, let me listen to it.
Sure.
Nothing.
Mm-mm.
I don't even think when the vocals start.
No.
Do you hear bass yet, Chloe?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Does it come in when they go into the chorus?
Yeah.
With a bomb, 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 bomb.
Man, it's hard to follow, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're actually listening, all right, what's a bass player playing? I mean, at this point, I think it's C-A-D-G.
No stop sign. Back to no bass.
Yeah, so we could have done it. Nobody would have. Everett was adamant. Man, we can't play without the bass player. Well, in my station, my event.
Maybe the bass player. Maybe most of the equipment was his.
That's probably fair, then.
That's something to keep in mind. If you're a bass player.
It was just one song. I was going to play one song with them, and that was it. They go back to playing whatever it is that Everett and Valerie did. I don't know how they call the when Everett and Valerie were dating, the band was Eat My Pie.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But you listen to the album, it sounds like they should have called them the Cat Killers.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't get to eat my pie.
Yeah.
Alfie, did they figure out why the camera locked up on Rodney during this last local break?
Jacob thinks there was something wrong with your video card, and I think he's right. He switched out a cable. It's either a bad card or a bad cable that caused everything to flip out and freeze.
So it's worked. That computer's worked for years until Rodney's. We're hooked up to some type of video feed.
Yep.
Even though we've been running a video feed through it. So we got no traffic map now?
We ain't got no traffic map.
Well, I'm not staying here.
Time to go.
All this effort that I put into video stream, you take away my trial. Now I'm stuck looking at Rodney's locked up forehead on my computer.
It's still there.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I can disconnect that from here. But, click down. Quit it. It won't let me get rid of it. You will not tell me I'm stuck at looking at Rodney Anderson's forehead.
It sounds like that, though.
Disconnect. There it is, gone. Hope he didn't die in real life. Okay. Are we officially started news?
Not yet.
Then we'll start again. 5:45. Or another time that this might be airing. Dan O'Malley is here with news.
Thank you, Russ. Today is Monday, December 15th, 2014. Birthdays today. Actor Adam Brody turns 35. From Kajagoogoo, Nick Beggs is 53. Paul Simonon is 59. He's, the bass player for The Clash. Don Johnson is 65. Tim Conway is 81. And Alan Freed, today is his birthday, although he passed away back in 1965. He is the radio DJ who coined the term rock and roll all the way back in 1951. Also accused of payola.
Yeah, I don't know if he was ever convicted of that. I forget what, there was a movie, I saw it in the 70s. I forget what it was called. But it included Alan Freed. I guess I've always liked 50s music, even though I wasn't alive in the 50s. And it was just like all the trials, tribulations that he had to go through, originally, you know, coining the term rock and roll, going out to concerts, being banned, having local concerts with Jerry Lee Lewis, the fire department, fire marshals shutting them down, especially when Jerry Lee Lewis would lose his mind, kick over his piano bench, set his piano on fire. Dude, can you not see why the fire marshal would have an issue with that?
Mm-hmm. And that's why now you want any sort of pyro at your show, you got to get a permit.
I've tried to talk Chuck into doing that when we play our concerts. I went, man, just kick over that keyboard and set the Casio on fire.
Yeah, he's not, done.
He's not going to do it.
He's never seen people set their Casios on fire.
Yeah, he has. He goes to Rammstein concerts. They do that there all the time. That's one of his favorite bands.
All right, I thought I was being innovative about setting a Casio on fire.
I'm with you. I didn't think anyone would.
Like you're talking about electronic keyboards.
Yes.
Well, that's stupid. Whole idea with a piano is you can keep playing at least until the wood burns.
Yeah.
Or the strings start snapping.
That Emerson, Lake and Palmer, or Powell, whoever it was that I saw in the mid-90s, they did the same thing. But I think that was a real, like, keyboard.
Well, whoever it was, my guess is they stole it from Jerry Lee.
Yeah.
It was probably Emerson, Lake and Powell. In the, what'd you say, 90s?
I think in the early 90s, actually, yeah.
Yeah. Originally, it was Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. I can't tell you a song they did, and why'd you go to one of their concerts? I don't know.
Opening for somebody.
Kajagoogoo?
Yeah. I think it was Yngwie Malmsteen.
Okay. But Chuck wouldn't do it.
He's fond of his keyboard.
I'll buy you another Casio.
How much do those things cost, though?
That one that's sitting in the corner, that's not a Casio, is it?
No. That's a Roland.
Yeah, that's expensive. Guitar Center gave that to us. That one right there, I think, is around $3,000.
Ooh, damn.
That's why I said, set a Casio on fire. It's like if I bust up a guitar, I'll go to the a pawn shop and get one for like $12.
Sure.
Make it look like most of the song I'm really playing it, and then we'll just cut it in half.
And he's really rocking. You know he's rocking. He just beat up and torched his own guitar.
Then he threw it down on the stage and he prayed to it like it was a god. Then he vomited and died. I think I'm missing something about this rock world. Okay. Did we finish the birthdays?
Yes, we did.
All right.
The families of 9 of the 26 people killed and a teacher wounded 2 years ago at the Sandy Hook Elementary School filed a lawsuit Monday against the manufacturer, distributor, and seller of the rifle used in the shooting. The negligence and wrongful death lawsuit asserts that the Bushmaster AR-15 rifle should not have been made publicly available because it was designed for military use and is unsuited for hunting or home defense.
So how were people able to buy this if it was only designed for the military?
Because they've also made it for hunting or home defense.
And it was legal.
Yeah.
Okay.
The attorney said in a release, the AR-15 was specifically engineered for the United States military to meet the needs of changing warfare. In fact, one of the Army's specifications for the AR-15 was that it has the capability to penetrate a steel helmet. In addition to Bushmaster, the defendants are Camfor, a firearm distributor, and Riverview Gun Sales, the East Windsor store where the gunman's mother purchased the rifle in 2010. Bill Sherlock, whose wife Mary was killed in the shooting, said he believes in the Second Amendment, but also that the gun industry needs to be held accountable and needs to be held to standard business practices when it comes to assuming the risk for producing, making, and selling a product.
But you're selling the guns. I'm not trying to ignore the fact of what happened at Sandy Hook happened. But you're selling the guns to licensed, I'm going to guess federally licensed, gun resellers,
mm-hmm.
gun stores. So everything that the manufacturer did was legal.
Yes.
How could you be held responsible unless there was a malfunction with the gun and they did no recalls?
No, in essence, it's one of those where the gun actually, this is very gruesome, but it performed perfectly.
As it was supposed to.
Yeah.
I wonder why they just stopped with the manufacturer. Talking about who all's listed in the lawsuit?
You have Bushmaster, the manufacturer, also the firearm distributor, and the store where the weapon was purchased by the gunman's mother.
There's an important element if you're just suing everybody, not the shooter.
Right.
Whoever it is that made the ammunition, because without the ammunition, all of that stuff is useless.
Yeah, it's like the old... I forgot whose bit it was, but they said, you know, quit worrying about, you know, making firearms illegal. Just make the bullets illegal. The bullets doesn't, there's no mention in the Second Amendment anything about ammo. That's sort of thinking.
But there are people who make their own bullets.
Mm-hmm.
You get enough shells stored up, you just do reloads. But it's... The gun was bought legally.
Yes.
All the sales, all the paperwork, everything, background check for everybody was done legally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you sue anybody short of the perp.
Well, and obviously the perp is dead, and so is his mother, who actually bought the weapon. But Bill Sherlock said also that these companies assume no responsibility for marketing and selling a product to the general population who are not trained to use it, nor even understand the power of it. The suit seeks unspecified monetary damages.
I wouldn't buy one just because it would scare me to have it. Plus, where am I going to go to shoot it? I know there are gun ranges if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
I don't know how I would explain it to a cop. Let's say I was getting stopped and they were doing one of those things of, hey, we're giving away free Christmas presents. Pop open your trunk. Rather not. Rather not right now, I must say.
Why would you not open up your trunk, sir?
Well, I was just going to the gun range to not to transport anything illegal. But I guess if you get a license to carry it, I don't know.
Yeah. And part of the...
It wigs me out just when I move guns around my house. First of all, I have to remember Gina's going to be cleaning every day.
Right.
Sometimes she brings her son. So I put him in places that he can't reach even if he tried.
Mm-hmm.
Then I forget where I put him.
Yeah, it's not good.
So I think if you own guns... It's not a matter of respect. You really kind of need to be scared of them. Because I've never shot myself.
And this is going to sound really condescending.
I know where this is going, but go ahead.
It's going to sound condescending, but I mean it. Good for you.
Of all the things you haven't done to yourself.
Fallen off ladders, fallen down stairs, slipped in pee, slipped on tile, knocked your own self out. But.
I knocked myself out. I fell. It was a door jam that knocked me out.
Okay, I will give you that.
Thank you.
Slipping
in the mud outside.
People
slip in mud?
I know. I'm just
throwing this all over the place. Why are you picking the things that people do all the time?
But hang on. The people shoot themselves quite a bit as well. I see the stories. And apparently a lot of times in gun safety courses.
Oh, this was what I was going to mention earlier. I forgot. Do I have a minute?
Yes.
It was this past Saturday night. I'd been up here all day. What I did leading up to it wasn't really important. I get home. I'm fried. I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
Laying on the couch watching TV, and I hear the chime that goes off on the alarm when a door is opened.
Gotcha.
Which was enough to get my attention. The other thing was, I didn't hear it close. You get a chime when it's opened, you get a chime when it closes.
Gotcha.
Okay. So I just heard that. I went, well, that's not really something I can ignore because doors just don't blow open.
Mm-mm.
I go check the alarm control. It says, window upstairs open.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, it's on now.
When you got my Glock?
Yep.
Made sure a bullet was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And from different places in the house, I've got touch screens. You can turn the lights on everywhere in the house. One button, every light.
Okay.
And I thought, why give them the advantage? So I went and got my night vision goggles out of the closet.
Oh, God. Wrong house, dude.
And then I turned all the lights off.
Damn.
Luckily, I knew I didn't have to check downstairs because the indicator said upstairs window.
Right. So you're going out at the Silence of the Lambs style.
Now, obviously, I don't even have to tell you how it ended. There was nobody, or you would have seen it in the news.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happened. But there's just something about clearing a house. There's a little more safety because, you know, most people, if they break into a house, they're not breaking in with night vision goggles.
No. And, yeah, at that point, you have the tactical advantage.
They can't see me at all. And it's just, even my own house. And I had to check everywhere because there was only the sound of just the open.
Yeah. Yeah, they could have been hiding in, you know, in one of the many bathrooms you never go in a cabinet you didn't know existed.
So I had to check every room upstairs, every attic, every closet, anything. Then I finally figured that I've got dual doors on one of the upstairs bedrooms where the right door is the one with the deadbolt.
Mm-hmm.
And the left door, if you want to open that one, you got to pull little levers up at the top and bottom, up and down.
Okay.
Everybody with me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Close knob. Yes.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's the one with no knob.
Yeah.
That you got to pull it into place and then throw the lever at the top and the bottom. I guess Gene had been up there cleaning, and the wind blew, and it was just enough for the entire door to bow because the levers weren't flipped. And it made it sound like somebody had come in.
Yeah.
Man, I was ready to pop a cap.
I bet you were. Adrenaline going. Oof.
Special ops.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird to be able to, because I've got the dual vision night goggles that I bought. Actually, I bought these for Rob about 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I liked them so much, I just kept them and gave him something else. But with the dual lenses, they look just like binoculars. At least you get depth perception.
Sure.
And just the POV of just seeing nothing but your gun, your fist, your other hand holding it, and everything's in green.
And now you're playing a video game.
No, I wasn't. Then everything's over, and you know, I put everything up. I go look in the mirror and go, I'd do me.
You turned yourself on.
Yeah. I'm going to go get something silk and pull my penis back and dance in front of the mirror.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show. Never miss a moment. Even in the AM. The Russ Martin Show. Weekday mornings, 7 to 11. On Talk Radio 1190.
604. This is KEGL, Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas, over the MyPlates.com Traffic Center. Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle traffic brought to you by GEICO. Let's get started off in Dallas, westbound 635. Right at Hillcrest, got an accident there blocking the right lane. Traffic is backed up back from the High 5. Move into Cedar Hill, southbound 67 between Beltline Road and Cooper Street. The highway there is completely shut down due to an accident. Right now, traffic there is backed up.
back from I-20. Into Grand Prairie, southbound 161, just before I-30. Got an accident there in the clearing stages. Traffic's back to Conflans Road. In Carrollton, southbound I-35 between Beltline and Crosby, that road construction there has been cleared out. Traffic is still jacked up back from 121. And finally in Fort Worth, southbound 35W right at Western Center, that accident there is now gone. Highway's been reopened. Traffic that was still completely stopped back from Alliance Gateway, about an hour delay through it if you try and sit through it. Again, if you see an accident out there, call the Gulf State Traffic Tip Line. Phone number is 214-866-8888. I'm Alfie Coy in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by REI. Clear tonight, 42 for the low. Then tomorrow, sunny with a high of 54. Right now, it is 62. 97.1 the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
I think there was a precedent set at one point where a gun manufacturer, I don't know if they lost a court case, but I know that they settled.
Yeah.
It was a settlement.
Yeah, it actually was also Bushmaster. In a lawsuit over the .223 caliber Bushmaster rifle used in the Washington, D.C. area sniper shootings that killed 10 people in 2002, Bushmaster and a gun dealer.
Is that the one where they were shooting people? They were hidden in their trunk?
Like in the van. Like a minivan.
Okay.
They were shooting at the door of a van.
All right, go ahead.
Bushmaster and a gun dealer agreed to pay $2.5 million to two survivors and six families in a 2004 settlement. It was the first time a gun manufacturer had agreed to pay damages to settle claims of negligent distribution of weapons. In that settlement, Bushmaster paid $550,000, and the Washington State gun dealer, where the sniper's rifle came from, paid $2
million. Damn. So there was something along the lines of distribution where they violated federal rules, regs.
Yeah, somehow. But also in 2002, same year, a federal judge in California ruled that Bushmaster and other gun manufacturers were not responsible for a 1999 shooting spree that killed a postal worker and injured five people at a Jewish community center in L.A. The judge said a lawsuit by the victims' families did not show a link between the manufacturers and the shooting rampage.
Maybe that's why the lawsuits continue, is you can have one state make this decision, this state make another decision, somebody wins, somebody doesn't.
Yeah, a lot of times it just kind of depends on where you file, and that may be part of your strategy. You file somewhere where you know you might have a more liberal judge.
Or if they're looking for some type of distribution loophole or condition that somebody skipped over, mm-hmm. and a person who ended up getting a gun. But the feds have to come into play someplace. If you do a background check and...
it comes back fine?
Yeah, well... there are just too many variables in here. How do you decide who to sue short of who's left?
That's kind of becoming...
I mean, I know you go where the money is, but there still has to be something... there's going to be something else to this. Of why stop there with the gun stores. Why stop with the manufacturer? Why not whoever sells all the different components to make ammunition?
Yeah, like whatever company makes the jackets.
Well, it's not a product of death. It's not it's not going to kill anybody until all of these different things are put together. Well, it's not a death weapon until you hand it to a nut.
Mm-hmm.
I got to cough, so talk.
the downside with all this stuff is that it seems to be the American way. If someone is hurt or someone dies, no matter what condition, whether something as awful as this or something awful in a car wreck, let's say with car wreck, it's easier to wrap my brain around. You sue everyone involved. Like you said, Russ, you want to sue the driver of the vehicle. You're going to sue their insurance company. How dare you insure this crazy person who's driving? Then you're probably going to sue... maybe whoever designed the highway, maybe there was a bad turn in the highway. Then you got to sue the bar, maybe where they drank before they got in the car. Then you're going to sue the car that you were in because it wasn't sturdy enough. Sue a cell phone company because the person was on the phone while they were driving. You're right. Where do you draw that line?
It depends on what you're out for. If you're actually looking to change society's behaviors, then you sue anybody you can get your hands on.
If you really want to make a statement, and you really, I mean, really want to make a statement, bypass the people that make the guns, bypass the people that make the bullets, and if you are this hardcore, sue the United States government for having the Second Amendment. If you really want to make a splash, go for it all, baby. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, there's a catch with that. You may not get any money.
One more.
Okay. Plus, I imagine, I think there's some kind of clause where you can't exactly sue the government. It's weird how you can sue and sometimes you can't. But that's my point is, it's always after the money. If you really want to see change, then go after what you feel like needs to change.
Yeah, you go through the legal process, but if everything was done in a legal fashion, there's nothing to change. Short of outlawing guns.
That's why I say short of that. You got to go directly to the source, not the source of those who make it, but the source of those who make it possible for any of us idiots to own them. But that the same.
And I was happy to have a gun Saturday night when my alarm went off.
I'm sure you were. I saw a video someone had posted on Facebook earlier today of some guy getting carjacked at a gas station. The robber had a gun, but so did the guy in the SUV.
The guy, is this a local story?
No, it was one of those posts from the website LiveLeak where they post all the nasty stuff. And the guy who was being robbed had his gun. Looks like he killed the guy trying to rob him.
Was he done pumping gas when he got robbed?
Yeah, he had just got into the driver's seat of his car, and the guy came from around the corner, put a gun in the window, and then they tussled. Then somewhere the driver got his gun and ended the other guy.
Because I always told Manny that. I went, if you're pumping gas and somebody comes up and they're trying to rob you or take you someplace else, if you've still got the gas pump out, you coat them, and you keep coating them.
With the gas.
You've got a weapon in your hand, and that's what women are supposed to do, is you look for anything you can grab at that point in time,
mm-hmm.
and you use it.
Even if you can't use anything as a weapon, you are a woman. You are crazy strong. You don't necessarily realize it, but if your life is on the line, you can do great things. And any area of soft tissue on that person, up for grabs. And when I mean up for grabs, I mean it. Rip that nose off his face.
Oh, yeah, like anybody's thinking nose.
I'm just saying, there is plenty of areas.
I don't even like discussing that.
I know.
First of all, it's just the idea, and I got nothing to do with it, but then my nethers hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she ever paid attention or it's ever come up, but I always do that when I'm pumping gas. If it's late at night, I'm just looking around because normally my gun's in the car. Is anybody going to come up? Anyone want, who want free gas?
Open your mouth.
That's what you're supposed to be doing. Anyone with half a brain should be constantly looking around them, not in paranoia mode, but at least, hey, is that jackass going to come over here and try and hit me up for gas money, try and get me to take him someplace, something like that?
I think you have to be in a, maybe not paranoia, just always alert.
Exactly.
But I always expect the worst when I'm out. That's paranoia.
I don't think it's better to have that than to just be totally lackadaisical and you're just kind of, you know, oh, it's a dark parking garage.
It's a dark night. We're on three camels.
Man, it's dark out here. Better not be any camels or clowns.
What? What are you worried about the clowns? All went over. No, don't. Because you may give us a line we want to put in the Christmas special. I have to re-edit it.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that.
Mm-mm. Wonder what the law is. I mean, I could always lie. But as I was clearing my house Saturday night,
mm-hmm.
when I heard the door chime go off.
Oh, yeah, and you turned all the lights off and put on your night vision goggles?
Yeah. Do you have to give them a heads up before you pop them? Or can you just pop them? I mean, it sounds... You know, most guys are going, oh, I just pop them. They're already in my house. They already know. If you break into a house, you're dead.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, yeah. But you're wondering if it's different because you're wearing night vision.
Yeah, if they just happen to break into the absolutely positively at that moment in time wrong house in that development.
Yeah. Because you have such an advantage over them.
Well, they don't see, they wouldn't be able to see me unless they broke in with goggles.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can just, hey, where'd you get those? I know in an instance where, you know, everything else is normal. Somebody's in your house and you fear for your life. My mind, everybody dies. All the bad guys.
Yes.
But if they can't see you in the dark, do you have to say, halt, don't move, or freeze as they can see the muzzle blast?
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Now you could go back move. And go, hey, yeah.
I said don't move. Hey.
All right, well, freeze. Did you specifically tell him not to move? I thought it. In fact, I wrote it on this piece of paper. In case he was deaf.
Got it all covered.
My guess is the castle doctrine probably covers you under most things.
I would think so.
And just the fact that I happen to have night vision goggles that I bought for somebody else and kept.
Mm-hmm.
That made it very surreal.
I would imagine, absolutely. But
the only bad thing about the night vision is you lose your peripheral vision.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I don't know, but I'm with you. I would think the castle doctrine would apply whether you got night vision or not. Because I look at it as with the night vision goggles, yes, you clearly have a tactical advantage over the intruder. However, the intruder breaks into your house and you don't have the goggles, you still would have a tactical advantage over the intruder because you know the layout of your house. You're just adding just a little bit more of an advantage. You know the layout of your house and you can see in the dark.
I suppose. It didn't really occur to me. I was just looking to pop somebody. It just...
Tonight's the night. Yeah, Saturday party.
Yeah. I spent 5 or 6 hours editing a Christmas special that is my own damn fault. I come home early so I can go to bed early, so I can get back up, come in Sunday, finish producing the damn Christmas special, which I no longer call it the Christmas special.
What do you call it?
I call it the... There you go. Damn Christmas special.
Sounds about right.
And then something's got to disturb me at like 11:14 on a Saturday night. And I knew I couldn't just lay on the couch and forget it. The wind probably blew something. Mm-mm. Probably something very benign.
Yeah, but
I knew I wouldn't be able to sleep. No. So I went, all right, get up, go check the entire house. I don't want to. Well, don't buy a big one next time.
That's right. Buy a little one.
Had you bought a tough shed, this would have taken 2 seconds.
All right, house is clear.
I guess I should go check my zero lot and my tough shed.
You just stick your head out the little tiny window.
But it felt like some type of tactical training. But I didn't feel as threatened because all the lights were off, and I knew I was the only one that could see. So that took off some of the pressure. So all you got to do is just wait and see somebody.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised you didn't just put the goggles on and just wait at the bottom of the stairs. Because you are like in a chair.
I got two stairs, so they could have come down one way or the other.
Oh, man, you really, that is a pain. Well, that's where you take the Home Alone approach. You put some stuff to block their way.
Well, what I did.
On the back stairs.
Setting the shtick aside, I knew if they came down the stairwell towards where the dogs always sit,
mm-hmm.
the dogs would be able to see and hear them.
Right.
Regardless. So I went up the main staircase. Knowing the dogs had my back on the other side of the house.
There you go. Got your back up.
So I had all that planned out.
And you know the beagle was ready. The beagle's like, all right, hold on. I've got to get my camo paint.
I don't want him to be able to see me. Ah, what shall I do while I wait for the perp? These stakeouts are quite lengthy. I turned the lights on, but then they would spot something. Damn it. I should have bought the king size Kents. surreal was the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
Because all you can see is your POV, your point of view, your hands, your gun.
Just like
and you're waiting for something to either be reflective or just show up.
Yeah.
Because with the goggles that I bought, I've had these for years, you can also turn on the infrared, which is the same thing that's projected from a TV remote.
Okay.
If you're wearing those goggles and you take the TV remote and point it at the wall, you can see the infrared.
Okay.
So it lights up everything. And these are cheap. They're like third, fourth generation back military night vision goggles. It's not like you could buy, you know, whatever the military's using now. It's always got to be three or four generations back.
Gotcha. Still, I bet if as you're going through your goggles trying to like switch the view, you feel like Predator. You're like, I'm going to switch the view.
And as I'm going through the house, I'm going, okay, is there a camera in this part of the house? Okay, stand up straight, just because they'll probably use this on the news.
quick, look taller.
Yeah, or just, hey, kind of flex. Collect this.
Got to roll your sleeve up just a little bit more. Oh, yeah, I got to get some bicep in here.
Yeah, depending on which way the camera is. Okay, pull this side up. Okay.
Get a little flex.
And then make that face of.
As opposed to the face that you were making, which was?
The real face?
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah.
Had I truly thought somebody was upstairs, that would have been the face and the hand gesticulations you would have seen. And there would be bullet holes on it. If it had a wall, it would have a bullet hole in it.
Fair enough. Oh, God.
That's the only thing I hate about a large house is you got to check it all. The only thing that made it easier was the alarm control panel that said upstairs window. Oh, well, great. Why don't you just put me an episode of Saw while you're at it? Hey, we just traced the phone call. It's coming from upstairs. Okay, well, all right. Just me now. And I'm sorry, I have no idea how this ever originated in movies where somebody goes,
who's there?
Okay, yeah. Tell them somebody's in the house and tell them kind of where you are.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the first things that made me think of, get rid of the flashlight, get the night vision goggles, and then just go on a hunt.
Yeah.
That was good on your part.
Looking good for the camera. Right, we're back up, do that again.
I thought about that before. Okay, let's see. I got a camera here. All right, don't slouch. Stand up straight. Kind of flex. Up like this. Make the face. Although, regardless of what you're doing when you got on those night vision goggles, you look like a perv.
And with those things on, it doesn't matter how hard you try. You're still going to look like Alfie.
Hey! It's not Alfie. Shut up. Let me talk to you. It's just, I automatically think about the guy from Silence of the Lambs.
Mm-hmm.
There's just, it's creepy.
Yeah.
But there's just, unless you've got the entire military apparel on, you just look like a fruit. And I mean fruit like a fruit, not the fruit that you're thinking of fruit.
Okay. I know. Don't.
The not straight.
You're good. You're okay. Fine. Just, we didn't stop. We quit that with the hand gesture. Just go back to making that face.
Alfie, do I want to take one of these?
Line 3.
Okay. Yes, Chris.
Yeah, I was just going to let you know to be careful wearing the night vision goggles. If for some reason the intruder was to hit you with a flashlight, it can actually like blind you, take your sight away for a while.
I think these have we'll just call it a lights on safety feature to where if there's an immediate bright light, they shut down.
All right. They're
not
the cheap ones then.
Do you have some?
No, I personally don't, but I have used and seen them, so.
Okay. All right. Thanks. I never thought about that, but I'm almost positive the better ones have that, we'll just call it a light squelching feature.
Gotcha.
I don't think it's like in the movies to where, you know, the military's in there and they're using night vision. Hey, we'll just turn on the lights. Hey, you sound like Luke Bryan's older brother. Well, that's what Luke does. Don't you, Luke?
I do, man. I just turn on the lights. Ha ha, I'm smarter than you.
So when we did a Les family reunion, killed three ants.
I don't know how the hell they got night vision goggles, but man, they are strong. There's a tiny little ant and big old goggles.
Alfie, anybody call about not warning somebody before you pop them in your house?
The guy on line one is, but I looked up Castle Doctrine. There wasn't anything about any sort of warning. It's just if there's an immediate threat, you're able to immediately end it.
Yes, Michael.
Yes. Pertaining to night vision goggles, it is completely legal.
Legal what?
It is legal for you to shoot someone while wearing night vision goggles if they are in your home.
Without any warning?
Without any warning. Texas Castle Law. If they are on your home or on your property, no matter what the situation, if you feel like your life is in danger, you are allowed to shoot them.
Okay. All right, thanks. I think I'm still going to check with Tim Powers.
I think it's best to check with an attorney, especially one that's an expert in law, Texas law, Castle Doctrine, all that kind of stuff.
Although when the cops show up, they're going to ask, all right, what happened? Well, I turned off all the lights. Right before you killed him, did you say halt? Did I? Yes, you did. Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, then we call him DRH, dead right here.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your service, kind citizen.
We're going to give you this honorary.
We're going to consider you an honorary police officer, and here's 20% off your next carpet cleaning. Because you're going to need it.
Yeah.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
633. Another check on traffic over the MyPlates.com Traffic Center. Alfie Coy is in KEGL's Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle Traffic brought to you by REI. Let's get started off in Cedar Hill, southbound 67 between Beltline Road and Cooper Street. That part of the highway there is still completely shut down due to an accident. Right now, traffic is completely stopped back from Hampton Road. Well over an hour delay through it. Moving to Garland, eastbound I-30 right at Broadway Beltline. Got an accident blocking the right lane. Your backup is back from Gus Thomason. In Richardson, southbound 75 right at the Bush. Got an accident blocking the HOV lane. Traffic's backed up. Back from Park Boulevard in Plano. Also in Plano, northbound 75 at Legacy, got an accident blocking the two right lanes. Traffic's jacked up in Richardson, back to Campbell. And finally in McKinney, southbound 75 right at El Dorado, got an accident blocking the left lane. Your backup there is back from Wilmoth Road, about a half hour delayed through it. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by Bosch Icon Wiper Blades. Ooh. Clear skies tonight, 42 for the low. Sunny tomorrow, 54 for the high. Right now, 60 degrees. A 97.1, the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Still on the gun thing, Alfie?
Yep.
Which lines?
Line 5.
Yes, Alex?
Wes Martin, what's going on?
Nothing. What are you doing, Alex?
Oh, just driving home, listening to your show as usual.
Good on you.
Yeah, I'm loving it today. I love hearing about room clearing. That's what I did for like 5 years, just train how to clear houses and clear houses.
Okay, so is there advantage with using the night vision or not?
Here's the deal with the night vision. It depends on the situation. If you're going to go clear a house and the power's already off, then I definitely recommend using night vision goggles. But if you're inside a perimeter and then you think that you might be invaded within that perimeter, you definitely want to take a moment and just get your eyes naturally used to the dark, because that's the best thing that you can do. Because, say, if that person shoots at you, and even if they don't hit you, you're not going to be able to see. The guy was right on that. I mean, because if someone lights up a cigarette around you, it'll blind you. Those night visions. And another big incorrect statement that I heard on there was that guy talking about if you feel that you're endangered, you know, you have the right to shoot. And that gets juggled a bit, because in the military, that's a big, like, yes, if you feel like you're endangered, you can shoot. But in the civilian world, it's all about the trajectory of the bullet. If you shoot a guy on the shoulder or from behind, I mean, you're going to probably get come down on pretty hard. But, you know, if you can throw them a whistle or hey, something like that real quick to get their attention, then you can shoot them, because they're going to look your direction. You got to get them from the front.
So even under even with the protection, the extra protections provided by the Castle Doctrine, I shoot somebody in my house in the middle of the night, it's dark, I shoot them in the back.
They can sue you.
No, they can't. Their family can.
Yeah, their family can. Well, either way, you could be pressed charges on. That's only if it's in the back. And I read this right up and down. And the thing is, even in your own home, if you shoot someone while they're seeming to go out the door, or they could be hiding in the closet not facing you, and if you shoot anyone in the back and that bullet enters through the back and out the chest, then you're gonna be in trouble.
Well, you're going to have to,
right or wrong.
You're going to have to explain, okay, the threat of danger emanated from, did you think they were going to take a on you? So
right.
I get that. All right. Thanks. Now, if it's out in the yard and they're still in something of mine, even at night where your protection is a little, the Castle Doctrine expands a little bit. I'm still not going to shoot somebody stealing something out of my car.
Yeah, that's...
It's not worth, morally to me, it's not worth it. Even if you're no build.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the grand jury, it's still going to cost you. And just the vindication of shooting. Well, he was stealing my Krako. I just put that in. Those brand new speakers in the back. And a subwoofer tube. They ain't pulling that out of my damn Mustang.
I think what it is, though, it's the idea of just being pissed off that someone would have the gumption to take your stuff under the cover of night, totally, totally coward.
And then what you do, and you, okay, I don't feel the right, I don't feel morally justified to shoot them, so I will shoot into the ground. And then I will get arrested by the Mesquite Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you doing? I was firing a warning shot. Were you only supposed to discharge a firearm if you feel threatened? Right. I felt threatened.
Yeah, but, sir, this is Texas. It's the only state ever that has pressed charges against man for not shooting another human.
I think that guy in Mesquite ended up getting off. He heard somebody kicking on his fence really hard, so he blew a couple of rounds into the ground.
Yep.
Not even an in-the-air thing where the police can go, it's going to come down somewhere.
Right.
In the ground. I'm a plumber. I laid that sprinkler system. I know where the PVC ran.
That's right.
I remember him calling.
Uh-huh.
Then he gets arrested for discharging a firearm.
You know the whole time he's asking the officers, let me get this straight. And they go, yeah, pretty much.
All right. What if I had a shot and killed him? Oh, you're pretty clear there.
Yeah, we give you a fist bump and go on about the evening.
Yeah, thanks for clearing the streets for us.
Yeah. Yeah, but two shots in the dirt, going down.
And I forget what he said he had to pay for, what he had in legal fees. I think it was around at least $1,000. Just for protecting his homestead. Okay.
Well, you mentioned those night vision goggles that you said you initially bought for Rob, but liked them so much you kept for yourself.
Yeah.
They actually did a study on that. eBay did.
How did they know I did that?
Not on you.
Oh.
But you're not the only person that's ever done that. eBay found about 1 in 3 people have bought someone a Christmas present and then decided to keep it for themselves. Women were more likely to do it than men, 34% to 26%.
I'm going to guess with women, that's going to be more of buying a gift for another female.
Right.
Yeah, that purse looks a lot better with the stuff I got. I don't even know why I wasted the time on that. I'll go ahead and keep this for myself. Mm-hmm. I'll go back and I'll get her something at Walgreens since they're open on Christmas.
Yeah, that's exactly what they would do. Like, you know what? She said she wanted this purse, but I like it better. Okay, I'm going to get this for me, and then I'm going to get her that lotion pack.
And she certainly can't be disappointed because she never knew this was coming. Alfie, what was the guy? I just looked over at the call screen. The guy that said something about it's not easy to kill?
He said that at one point, he hung up already, I'm sorry. He said that at one point somebody had broken into his house, and he had a shotgun trained on him, and that he couldn't pull the trigger. He just waited for the guy to run off.
I get that. It depends on what the situation is. Shooting somebody, trying to steal my car, I don't think I can do it. Shooting somebody in the house, I don't know. Did he say if the perp was armed?
He did not.
Yeah, you just got to... Obviously, it's anything else. That's why I hate second-guessing cops, even if there's video, because you don't know every single thing that led up to that, the mental state of everybody.
Right.
But I think had I come across somebody Saturday night in my house with those green... Just had somebody jump out in their green, I'm going to kill them.
I guess you got their goggles on.
Yeah.
Somebody was a green man in my house.
Why'd you kill them? They was all green. Were you wearing night vision? Yeah. Well, that's why they was green. Well, they were also in my house. And looked even creepier because their eyes had that weird color and the green reflective stuff.
Look like cat people.
I think being on the second floor, knowing that I had few places to retreat to, I think I'd be using that 20% off Dalworth carpet cleaning coupon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a manly thing. It's just if you're bold enough to break into somebody's house at night, having a pretty good idea that they're home.
Yeah.
Then I think you've already left all your chips at the front door.
Yeah, my favorite thing that comes out of those stories.
And you better hope that I'm going to be kind enough to kill you.
Yeah.
Because what if I'm bi-curious?
Ooh, jackpot.
We'll be back to the Russ Martin Show.
This is Alfie Coy. The tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
652, this is KEGL Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas. Over the MyPlates.com Traffic Center, Alfie Coy is in the Eagles Black Thunder.
Thank you, Russ. Eagle Traffic brought to you by Shell V-Power Premium Gasoline. Still a whole lot going on out there. Let's get started off in Fort Worth, westbound I-30. Right at Green Oaks, Lackland got an accident blocking the left lane there. Your backup is back from Camp Bowie. Let's move into McKinney, southbound 75, right at El Dorado. Got an accident blocking the left lane. Your backup is back from Wilmoth Road. In Plano, northbound 75 right at Legacy, got an accident blocking the two right lanes. Traffic there is jacked up. Back from Beltline, back in Richardson. In Cedar Hill, southbound 67 between Beltline and Cooper Street Highway, there is still completely shut down due to that accident. Traffic is completely stopped back from Hampton Road. It's at least an hour delayed through it. I don't know, try I-35 or something. And finally, in Dallas, westbound 635 right at Hillcrest, got an accident there. In the clearing stages, traffic there is backed up. Back from the High 5. Listen to Cindy Skull tomorrow morning at 8:25 for a shot to win a pair of tickets to go see the Mavs take on the Oklahoma City Thunder, I guess, on December 28th. Details are at KEGL.com. I'm Alfie Coy and the Eagles, Black Thunder.
Eagle weather brought to you by REI. Tonight, clear skies, a low of 42. Then tomorrow, sunny and a high of 54. Right now, it is 60 degrees. But 97.1, the Eagle.
We're back to the Russ Martin Show.
Big wheels rolling. Big wheels rolling, moving on. Big wheels rolling, gotta keep them going. Big wheels rolling, moving on.
Sunny maker. You hate this song, don't you?
Actually, no.
Damn it.
I know. I'm sorry, man. I just...
Did you grow up with country music? I grew
yes
up with it.
No,
I think that's why. I don't think I'm fighting anything. And if Dr. Thornton ever shows that in his notes, I think really you like country music. And you're just trying to play the tough guy.
Right. All right. For the record. No, Russ, don't do that. That's wrong. That'd be mean.
Hey, just take his advice. That's why he's supposed to be on the show to analyze it.
Right.
Just because you don't agree with his analysis doesn't mean that we're you... His face.
No. So anyway, now that I'm on the record as having said that, that'd be funny. Totally unexpected. Now, I mainly grew up, like, my dad was mainly into rock, classic rock stuff. That's part of why I'm a huge Queen fan. And it's because he's sort of passing on, as well as Aerosmith. Quit looking at me like that.
I had nothing to say with my eyes or my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, somewhere Freddie felt that.
You were supposed to feel it, but he felt it too.
I think he jumped in between us.
Everybody likes tongue.
Never. Anyway, but some country was in there from my grandparents. It was like my grandma was a huge Conway Twitty fan. That's how I know who he is. That and, of course, Family Guy.
I don't know. Maybe there's just something with 50s music and country. I don't know. I bought a Chuck Berry album, Greatest Hits, when I was like 14.
Wow.
Now, is that big of a, if you think about it now, somebody that was born, that wouldn't really work. Yeah, born in 2000 and bought a, who was big in 2000?
Backstreet Boys.
Okay. I don't know. It just seemed different to me that I bought some rock and roll thing that was really out of my era.
Well, yeah, that's right. Never mind. I was almost going to say, well, maybe you felt rebellious because you were buying the devil's music and it was, but yeah.
By then, Ozzy had already replaced that. Chuck Berry was they had realized, hey, these are good chords, keys and everything to use in church.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sing My Ding-a-Ling. That one goes good in church. So maybe that's why some of the country music I can tolerate, some I can't.
I think a lot of it just has to do with something that's, honestly, just something that's catchy. That's part of the reason why you get, that's why Taylor Swift has made the jump from country over to pop, is because her stuff was so catchy that pop radio was starting to play it, even though she was a country artist.
Still have no idea what she sings.
Cloak and find you a bevy of things.
Has she done any covers? Everybody has done. I don't care what genre. I'm surprised rap hasn't done it. Of Run, Rudolph, Run.
Oh, I think that was on the Fat
Run,
Boys.
Run, Rudolph.
I think that was on the Fat Boys Christmas album from like 80-something.
Go ahead. Run, Run, Rudolph.
I think I had that.
Bam! That seems to be the cover version that everybody goes to.
Yeah.
Is that Taylor Swift?
Yes.
Damn, I listen to that.
Yeah, she's good.
Well, why didn't you tell me she played that?
No, she doesn't play that.
Okay, well, I'm not trusting you again, so just kill everything and go back to the console's set up.
Man, I'd go to her concert. It'd also be really interesting to hear AC/DC sung in a pop female voice. Also, and what word she would use?
I know there's a chick that's done Shook Me.
Oh, I'm sure there is. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Didn't Celine Dion do that at one time?
If she did, then she shouldn't be allowed back here. Even though AC/DC's not from here, she's not from here. But that's ugly.
It is. There are some songs that if you're going to sing them, they need to sound like you've swallowed some gravel or you've decided to lick a few ashtrays and drink a bottle of whiskey right afterwards.
You need to sound like you just got out of a fight.
A what?
A fight. I just beat somebody's ass, shoved a fork in his eye.
A fork?
That's what I said.
I think it's something else you could have said would have been also quite surprising.
That's just a story that Brian Johnson told me. They were at some nice place in Irving. I forget where it was. And people were making, I guess they had no idea who Brian Angus, I don't know how many of the guys in the band were there. They were making fun of their accents. They got in a fight. One of them got a fork shoved in their eye.
Jesus.
Pissed me off, made me drop my cigarette.
Man, that's just freaky.
I think I've still got it in the archives of the interview that I did with them back in 97, 98.
And I'm guessing they didn't get sued.
I think the restaurant probably took care of it.
We made it part of the special. That's going to be one of those moments where if you're the, did Brian say which one of the guys in the band took the eyeball out?
Brian did it. Brian's the one that jabbed somebody in the eye with a fork.
Did he say what his reaction to that was? Because maybe he got caught up in the moment and he pulled the eyeball out of the guy's head and looks at it and thinks, wow, a badass. Or, wow, this went really far, really fast.
Wow.
I can't believe I did that.
The wheels fell off this one pretty quick.
Yeah, they did.
No. But he's just telling you a story like that. You just take it because you don't know if they're jacking with you or not, but something about Brian Johnson, you just believe that, yeah, that guy walked around with a fork or I'm assuming it was a fork. Could have been a spork, but if he said spork, then you know it happened at KFC, then they have issues.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Okay.
The gifts that people kept for themselves, were we done with that?
Yeah, that was a pretty short deal. It said about 1 in 3 people have bought something as a Christmas gift for somebody and decided to keep it for themselves. And the majority of those that do it are female.
I've gotten gifts before where you open it and then you want to go, why don't you just keep that for yourself?
I really feel like you would enjoy this more.
Yeah. These paisley silk shirts, they don't look good on me.
Mm-hmm.
You, Dr. Venegas, I think people expect to see you in that.
There it is. That's right.
And if he got you a gift and you didn't get him one, you can just expect to be ignored for a year.
Well, it's already odd anyway, because most guys don't buy each other presents unless it's been somehow said, laid out beforehand.
It's like with us. We've agreed. We all pick charities. And for the holidays, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Birthdays, we always remember that, or we try to. The rest of it is no. Because what are you going to do? And I certainly would never buy clothes for any guy I know. The whole thing is just odd.
Well, partly the reason why it's odd is not just because you're giving a gift of clothing to another guy, but that means you were in a store somewhere, saw a shirt hanging, and thought of your friend. It's like, ooh, that looked good on him. He needs this.
If it was one of those novelty t-shirts that said something like, hey, I sh** all over myself Friday.
That's different.
I'd buy that for Chloe.
Right, absolutely. That, and that would be expected.
You've bought me underwear before.
Shut the f*** up.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Start spilling this.
I don't remember, unless it was something like...
it was Corona.
Boxers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Man, I think you should...
It's beer, and it's boxers.
And you bought them for him.
I'm sure I got him something else manly. Didn't I get you like a Winchester or something?
I think it was another Hawaiian shirt.
Okay, that doesn't help.
No. Maybe like a nice, I don't know, Corona thong?
No, man, that's wrong.
Are you sure it was underwear and not swim trunks?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh,
it was. Yeah, it was two pair, like a red pair and a green pair.
Oh, two, wow. Double up. Double the pleasure, double the fun.
I think it was a two-pack.
It's Corona. He loves Corona.
I understand he does. And you bought him underwear. Did it come with lime-flavored condoms?
No.
You want to guess what yours is going to come with, Dan? Or who's going to come with us?
I'm just trying to spur this on a little bit.
I don't want to. Go to your next story.
I'm sorry. That was just funny. Because you bought me underwear. Men are idiots. The British Medical Journal decided to prove it, so they took a look at the Darwin Awards. Those are the awards.
The Darwin Awards?
Yeah. Those are the awards given out every year to real people who accidentally kill themselves in the dumbest ways possible. For example, a terrorist who tried to mail a bomb in a package didn't put enough postage on it, so it was returned to him, and he opened it.
I wonder what's in here.
Hi, a gift.
I love this. I love ordering stuff off the internet.
It was fun. There have been 318 awards given out since 1995.
Hang on. Because this is a story I got. They were trying to pitch a author. Who published this report?
British Medical Journal.
Okay, this is the same one.
Okay.
But they don't play this off. as a, you know, guys are idiots. Look how many times they've killed themselves.
Okay.
It says, pitch. Men are idiots, says new study. How can women take advantage?
Wow. What a shift.
And this is, thank you for saying shift. Your story is dated today?
Yes.
This is from last week.
Oh, boy.
Time.com reports. New analysis published in the British Medical Journal found that men are way more likely than women to engage in stupid, risky behavior, supporting the male idiot theory. How can women take advantage of this? Why don't you have our guy on? You can ask him. Then they always give you questions you can ask the author.
Mm-hmm.
Why do men do stupid things? Are they really idiots? What simple things can women do to get what they want from men? Well, the story you've got, these are the same stories.
Yes. There's no doubt.
The one I'm holding's got nothing to do with yours.
No.
Yours has. Look at all the stupid things men do to kill themselves.
Yeah.
How can women take advantage of that? We'll make sure that we're married to them before they do that thing?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, because what you have there is you've got someone from some PR thing that is capitalizing on the information from this story. Because I'm going to guess that whoever they're pitching as a guest is not one of the researchers or the study authors.
No, it just says, this author weighs in. Four times New York best-selling author, gives his name, has appeared on the Today Show, CNN, Fox News, Discovery Channel, and more. Then ask other questions. Are relationships better with a woman when a woman takes a more master's role? Can the male ego be domesticated using age-old techniques, and how? Which one works best? Which ones won't work at all? If they are really idiots, can men be trained without knowing?
And this is a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And it has nothing to do with what the actual study survey from the British Medical Journal found.
Mm-mm.
Like, men are most likely to blow themselves up. How can a woman take advantage of this?
You really capitalized on that quickly.
I had to finish your story. I had no idea that's where that was going.
Yeah. There have been 318 awards given out since 1995 that were independently verified as true by the Darwin Awards Committee. 282 were given to men, 36 to women. That means 89% of the Darwin Award winners are men, which is the statistically significant proof that men are more likely to be idiots than women.
I could see men in general engaging in more risky behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You got playing football is risky, driving yep. NASCAR.
Just being a redneck.
Close right.
Well, that's more of a DNA thing.
Well, but still, I will go out there on a limb and say, statistically speaking, I'm willing to bet more men have said the phrase, hey, watch this, than female.
Yeah. I don't know. Just the fact that these really butt ugly dog nasty ass women will send me pictures thinking that I go out with them. To me, that's ballsy. That's almost like telling one of her friends, hey, watch this. I'm going to send this guy this email, a picture of me, and show him what he's missing out on.
Well, that's different because that's not putting herself in some sort of bodily harm.
I know, but I don't think stupidity has really found a gender and said, I will live here. Each gender has its own category of stupid.
Yeah. It's
we like to do, men, we like to do really idiotic things. We like fire.
Mm-hmm.
We like setting things on fire. We like farting on people.
Yep.
We like farting in places and making other people smell it.
Mm-hmm.
We love Dutch ovens. We love jiggling door handles.
Or doing the finger in a butt crack thing.
Yeah, in the mall.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we just walked into Stonebriar Mall. Wouldn't you like my finger up your butt crack?
Quit it!
Oh, shut up.
I'm done.
I swear.
Win it!
Come on. Be my puppet. Come on. Come on. If we keep practicing at this, we already know it will be for Halloween next year. I'll be Jeff Dunham.
Yeah. And you can be the dead terrorist. So I'll stick my finger in your a-hole and you go, I kill you. Which is what happens anyway.
At least let's win a couple hundred bucks at a costume contest. Oh, man.
Was it the whole story with the men are idiots?
Yeah.
I'd probably guess we'd do more stupid things because we never really truly adulticize, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we always like, hey, I wonder what this, because we've got all these extra computer monitors up here. We've upgraded everything.
Yep.
So we've got like 150 monitors sitting around. And I asked Lewis, our engineer, I said, what are we going to do with those? He goes, you want to shoot them, don't you? Oh, I never said that. He goes, I want to shoot them.
That makes me so happy that he thinks of that as well.
Well, you just see a bunch of equipment sitting around, yeah, that you know they're either going to just chunk or donate. I don't know who you donate it to. Well, why don't you take them out street corners and look for homeless people still running on XP?
You don't want them susceptible to being hacked.
They ain't got no internet, so they can't get hacked. Where was I going with this?
Shooting computers. And Lewis, the chief engineer, says, I want to shoot them too. It's a guy thing. Can't help it.
He said it before I did. I just said, what are you going to do with them? Because you want to shoot one, don't you? Because, you know, I could bring a couple in here.
Yeah.
Shoot it. It's not going to penetrate. It's not going to go through the wall, especially using hollow points.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is a city ordinance somewhere that just squelches fun.
I don't think it's known as the fun squelching ordinance, though.
I think most cops would want to shoot it. If somebody called the police and they showed up and they saw that we were shooting computer monitors, you know, the first question is going to be, how many got left?
Who's up for a firing squad? See what happens if we all shoot it at the same time.
Let's take all these monitors and put up pictures of people we hate. Mm-hmm. And then we'll shoot them all. It'll be a who's got a stopwatch?
I know as much fun as that sounds, there will be people in the building that would frown upon that.
Even though none of them would be in danger. It's not going to go through.
People have a funny way of deciding in what way they feel endangered.
Well, constitutionally, I felt threatened by that computer monitor.
No, you didn't. What? Was it armed?
It was reflective, and what I could see, somebody was holding a gun.
That's you!
Yeah, I'm going with closed defense.
I'm sure that'd be Tim Powers' advice, legal advice.
Tell him that. Tell him when you get to court.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why can't you tell him? I'm not taking this case. You're going with a defense? That sounds like somebody that uses a falconeer. Alfie, did anybody call in with a definitive answer on shooting somebody in your house at night?
Nobody with any sort of legal expertise.
See, you could set your own precedent.
I don't know. I get the idea of shooting them in the back, but you're still in your house.
Mm-hmm.
One guy even called up and said that you're only allowed to shoot them if they're carrying something that's not really that expensive, but maybe is a family heirloom.
No, I think, first of all, you check with an attorney before you do anything. But if somebody's in your house, you have no idea. First of all, you don't know if they're the only one. You don't know what they're carrying. You don't know what's in their pockets. You don't know what weapon they may have. In my mind, with my line of defense that I can afford, they're in the house at night. You checked out at the front door.
Yeah.
Do not use that as a legal defense and say, well, I heard this guy on the radio. I probably wouldn't immediately shoot them if I saw their hands were clean. But I'd make them suck on some things.
My dream has come true.
Man, this is the greatest day of my life. Thank you for breaking into my house right before Christmas. I would now like to see you masturbate, and you have to finish in 2 minutes or you're dead.
You better hit harder than that. Well, faster.
Well, I'm holding this picture of Betty White.
Yeah. Man, you better hurry up and finish. Clock's running. You got about a minute 10. Think you better go to Happy Land in your head. Tell you what, if you don't finish in 2 minutes, I'll give you a bonus round. I'm going to cut off one of your hands, and you have to rake all the leaves in my yard within 92 seconds. As you tongue kiss my beagle's hole.
Or
what?
Or you're dead.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the beagle has to give me the paws up to say that it was a good one. Or if you want to go the ultimate route, I'm going to stick this Glock. Since you've broken into my house and threatened me and my family,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to stick this Glock in your mouth, and then I'm going to count your ribs. If you laugh once.
It's not possible. That mother dead. You can't do it.
Count my ribs? How could that be funny? Why would that make me laugh? Okay, so you accept the deal.
He would make it to 1.5.
Well, I'm not ticklish. Go ahead and you let me go if you count on my ribs.
That's right. Let you free and clear.
All right, then. Go ahead and stick the gun in my mouth.
All right, here we go.
All
right, here we go. Mm-hmm. Oh, what? Told you.
That's fair.
That's it. Hey, he signed a contract. For more information on The Russ Martin Show, go to RussMartin.com. To get signed up for The Russ Martin Show audio archives, go to RussMartin.fm. Other show websites, DJClo.net.
Are you sure he agreed to this? I have the paperwork that he signed releasing ABC TV and Buena Vista Productions.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah, DJClo.net, DanOMalley.com, and AlfieCoy.com. You can also find and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for all things 97.1 The Eagle. Go to KEGL.com. Nikki Sixx is up next. For all things Talk Radio 1190, go to 1190talkradio.com, where Rodney Anderson is up next.
All right, see you guys tomorrow.
Later.
The Metroplex.